about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Today is a high alert day. I can't stress enough the importance of being vigilant and cautious in light of the serious threats we'll be facing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Good, you're here.
Is something wrong?
I'm driving to work, and I'm flipping around on the radio dial, and I land on a promo for the new
Alex Jones show.
He's got a new show.
He's turned conspiracy theorist. One of those 9/11 was an inside job crackpot.
Hey, listen, asshole. And I never used cussing in 22 years, but the gloves are off. Listen, you son of a bitch. What the f*** your problem? You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch. You piece of shit. You f- goddamn f***. Listen, f- kid. You have f***ing crossed the line. Get that through your goddamn head. Stop pushing your shit. You got that, you goddamn son of a bitch?
And now.
How can so much and so little be happening in that headpiece?
Our feature presentation.
I'm glad he doesn't use bad language.
Mm-mm. No, he's glad very reserved.
Reserving that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Alex Jones.
I'm one of the biggest proponents of nonviolence and Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King. Everybody knows that.
Well, you definitely prove
everybody.
That. Welcome in, you guys, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time we're doing it for a Monday, the 10th of April. Hey, ladies.
Hi, Bean.
How was everybody's weekend?
It was good.
Lovely.
Allie, I understand that hockey is over now? There's no more hockey this year?
No, the whole season's done. There are
That's
no playoffs.
Heard.
Yeah, they just decided nobody cares.
That was so strange that they made that announcement.
That's really odd, guys, because there's still the Ducks still love hockey to play.
I don't know.
Really?
Why is her mic on? Who's talking? Who is that?
Are you sure about
that?
Because I heard from Kevin and Allie that there was no more hockey this year.
No, but first round of playoffs Thursday for the Ducks against the Flames.
Bob Miller retired, and they're like, that's it. No more NHL.
Standing ovation for Bob last night at the Honda Center.
Yeah, no more.
So much more hockey.
Yeah, kind of a bummer for real hockey fans.
Lots of
that
hockey.
It's over.
So much
enjoy
hockey.
Enjoy that sport. It's a shame it's
hockey.
Over until,
so much
until next year.
Playoffs were so good.
Hey, Allie, not that you have any burning desire to get married. I know that is the case. But I think you're going to change your mind when I introduce you to who the man I believe will be your future husband.
Oh.
I don't think you're going to be able to resist Mikey Joe O'Shea. Are you familiar with Mr. O'Shea?
Go on.
Mikey Joe O'Shea. Say it.
Mikey Joe O'Shea.
Right. He is an Irish man. He's a shepherd. I hope that's not bad. He's an Irish shepherd.
I love sheep.
So I think
goats?
there will be a change.
It's sheep.
It's sheep. Okay. Yes. Shepherd sheep.
Oh, that makes
otherwise,
sense.
Otherwise, he'd be a goat herder. So I hope that a lot of times we talk about this all the time. You know, when we do the singles parties and whatnot, we talk to people on the air about how there are too many deal breakers. People are so quick, and maybe it's because we live in the age of swipe right, and there's another option in in 2 seconds if you decide this person's she wears glasses, I don't like her. Oh, he's a redhead, I won't date him. So people make snap judgments like that, and sometimes they're missing out on great people,
right?
Because there's too many deal breakers.
True.
So I don't want you just because he lives in Ireland and he's a shepherd. I don't want you to automatically discount him as not being suitable to be your husband.
I like both of those things. Probably has a big staff. Right?
You have to consult his doctor for that. I'm not sure if it's a big staff or not. Well, let's meet him. He does show up fairly soon in this news report. By the way, a very scary news report about sheep that have gone missing there in Ireland. And he is a shepherd, of course, so he's very concerned, as you'll hear in a moment.
Gorthy and County Kerry are investigating the theft of up to 60 sheep on Mount Brandon. One of the farmers is offering a reward for information leading to the return of the ewes, which are worth thousands of euro.
By the way, I don't know why the ewes are worth so much money.
Right.
But here's Mikey Joe O'Shea, and you tell me if it's not love at first sight, Allie.
Well, then find after them. That's riding. You own them, and you mustn't see it. Find after them.
I'm sorry. What, Mikey?
What's find after them. That's riding. You own them, and you mustn't see it. Find after them.
He is speaking English, by the way.
That is backwards. You are playing his soundbite backwards.
That is not Irish. The Irish have their own language, too, right?
There's Gaelic, right?
Yes, Gaelic. There you go.
Okay.
He's not speaking that.
Are you sure?
Yes. He is speaking English.
Forwards?
Yes. And there are many viewers of this this RTE network who are writing in and going, hey, how about some subtitles on this thing? like, what's Mikey talking about? One more time.
I'm fine asking them. That's right. And you own them. And you mustn't say it. Fine asking them.
That's backwards. That is a satanic verse backwards.
We may have to get some of our Irish listeners to call in and help us with that, but we do get an opportunity to hear from Mikey a little bit later in the broadcast as well.
Last Saturday, Mikey Joe O'Shea brought his flock of Scotch sheep down from the mountain commonage ahead of lambing. He discovered over 50 were missing.
All right, so here you go. Here's another chance. Here comes Mikey, and he's going to go into great detail as to what he thinks is going on.
Allowing for a number of deaths and strays, Mikey is convinced over 45 sheep have been stolen.
Possibly a night. There'd be a full moon there about night, and it should be bright out, and there could anyone go up in the mountains about night, sure.
All right, so everybody's cool?
Bright and mountain.
Yeah, bright.
And up on the mountain, maybe.
Let's try it again.
Possibly a night, there'd be a full moon there about night, and it should be bright out, and there could anyone go up in the mountains about night. Sure.
Okay, full moon.
Full moon,
there was
bright.
A full moon, so it was bright out, so he's suggesting maybe that would have made it easier for somebody to steal his sheep, perhaps. Let's try one more time.
Possibly a night, there'd be a full moon there about night, and it should be bright out, and there could anyone go up in the mountains about night, sure.
I feel like you two are going to get along great.
Look, if you won't marry him, I will.
Chip, I don't know. I'll fight you. I will fight you for Mikey's love.
Now, I do think we are about to hear from Mikey's next-door neighbor who also lost some sheep. And I think it'll be a little bit easier to follow what he's got going on.
Well, there was 45 sheep missing, Mike, and the lambs and everything. The sheep just count out a nice bit of money, Mike.
What's happening in this town?
You don't about you, nothing.
Some sort.
Mikey's next-door neighbour says some of his sheep have also been stolen.
I'm missing about 10 ewes.
Okay, there you go. He's missing about 10 ewes.
They are messing with the people watching this newscast. They are playing this backwards.
No, this is
I will
this
not
legit.
Believe anything else.
The neighbour's legit. Here's some more.
It's not all that difficult. All you got to do is have a good dog. Have a good dog and go at night, some moonshine night, just put the dog around him, put him on a trailer and walk him.
Okay.
And then probably somebody else to pick him up.
There you
okay.
go.
Okay. All right. All right. Fine.
So he's cool. So anyway, I won't play the rest of the report, but I will say that, you lose 50 sheep. I mean, that's a bad deal. That's like we had cattle rustling in this country for a long time.
Right.
It sounds like something like that's still going on in Ireland. But the important thing, Allie, is that you got a boyfriend.
Possibly a night. There'd be a full moon there about a night, and it should be bright out, and there could anyone go up in the mountains about a night, sure.
Beautiful moon, light out, something about a mountain.
See?
Mikey, let's make some sweet love.
There you go. You're already starting to figure it out. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
Wow, that sounds really terrible.
Actually, it's not going to be terrible because once again today and all this week here on K-Rock, we are giving you tickets for Coachella, this time for weekend number 2. Got a chance for you to win those in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, LaQuisha on the program today. She is reviewing Mama June from Not to Hot. That show is still on, by the way, Allie.
No, it is.
It's still on.
For real?
Yes.
Okay.
Our old friend Bianca Kylik is going to be joining us in studio today. You know her from the TV show Undateable. She also is Mrs. Mike Catherwood. She is involved in a fascinating documentary. There's a Kickstarter out, a documentary about her brother, who is the most inspiring person I have ever seen. It's unbelievable what her brother does. And we'll tell you all about that and hope that you can help with that. Harvey Levin on the line today from TMZ.com. And I saved the best for last. Greatest human on earth, Weird Al accepted, Mr. T in studio today.
Yeah! Oh, my God.
Mr. T will be here in person, you guys.
Seriously.
Seriously. All of that plus Rob's got the showbiz beat next right after this on K-Rock.
Nope.
Possibly a night. There'd be a full moon there about a night, and it should be bright out, and there could anyone go up in the mountains about a night, sure.
Yeah, what that guy said. Mm. Monday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show, it is 5:54. He may have been saying, hey, Ralph Kramer, what's going on, man?
Guess it's okay to make fun of the Irish, huh, racist?
No one was making fun of them.
Oh, no. Let's just play a bunch of tape and laugh at their accent. Ha, ha, ha.
We
funny,
were falling
racist.
Very deeply in love with the way he speaks.
Sure.
It sounds racist.
Yeah. However,
and tried to figure out what he was talking about.
It's fine. Just keep making fun, racist. That's fine.
Allie, were we making fun?
Yeah.
Oh, we were?
Okay. Yeah. I didn't understand a word he was saying at
me
all.
Me neither. Did you, Ralph? You speak
sound,
Irish.
They all sound alike to you, I'm sure.
Yeah, just a mouthful of potatoes.
Racists.
Then find after them. That's right. And you own them. And you want them to say it.
What did he say, Ralph?
I don't know. Let's do a whole Ebonics segment next. What do you say?
Okay.
Let's get more racist in here. Just what we need. The worst. The worst people. Right, Chip? You with me?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Ugh.
That's not how you make America great.
Exactly, Arnold. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Boss Baby continues.
Again with this?
To be a juggernaut. At the movie theaters, made another $26.3 million this weekend.
Wow.
Kept it at number one.
Alec Baldwin is having quite a career right now, isn't he?
I'm telling you. I've always said people love babies in suits. That's been a standard for me for many years. And once again, I'm proven right. Beauty and the Beast, the live-action version, made $25 million. Just behind number one to make it number two. Smurfs, The Lost Village, made a respectable $14 million this weekend. Going in Style and Ghost in the Shell were the top five films.
What's Going in Style?
That was the bank heist movie starring Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman and Alan Arkin.
Gotcha.
Going in Style was fifth. Power Rangers was sixth. Kong, Skull Island, Logan, Get Out, and The Case for Christ at number 10. Case for Christ.
Yeah. He had to get his briefcase.
It's when Jesus is brought up on shoplifting charges.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They busted him stealing some loaves and fishes, apparently.
Oh, no.
Hadn't heard about that.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Guilty. Third shot at marriage may not have been a charm for Janet Jackson. Apparently, she is parting ways from Wissam Almana because their relationship wasn't working, in Janet's words. But they're determined to be good parents to the three-month-old son, Issa. Here's the thing. Was it working 3 months ago? Was it working a year ago, 9 months ago? What's the point of bringing a child into the world if your relationship isn't working, in quotes?
I believe
Conspiracy Alley. Let's take a stroll down Conspiracy Alley, shall we?
He's worth $1 billion, correct? And granted, Janet's worth a ton anyway, but there are stipulations in a prenup. After a certain amount of time, if you get a divorce, you get a big chunk of change. I believe she just made it over the 5-year mark.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're saying she's cashing out?
I'm saying maybe
so
you
she
hang
toughed
on
it out.
For a little bit.
She toughed it out until the big money kicked in.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
That's just me. It's what I would have done.
Well, you're a smart lady.
Thank you.
This is her third marriage. She said, "I do," to James DeBarge back in 1984.
Yeah.
How do you leave a DeBarge, by the way?
Agreed.
Once you're in the DeBarge family, don't you stay in the DeBarge family?
Thank you.
I would think so.
That union was eventually annulled because of some guy named Johnny, apparently.
Who's Johnny?
That's what they kept asking. I don't know if they ever found out the answer. And then she also tied the knot with Renee Elizondo. Don't forget, back in 1991, and called it quits with him in 2000. So.
He was the one with the hands on the boobs on the Rolling Stone magazine cover.
Right. Oh. So, there you go. Everything you need to know about Janet Jackson's.
I wondered if the reason her career has slowed down so much in recent years is because she married this guy and was living in the Middle East or something like that, and just seemed to have kind of checked out.
I do not know the answer. But according to Ali, she's going to be a rich lady now.
Sounds like it.
That's not the case of The Situation. Remember The Situation?
Sure.
The Situation.
My. Yeah.
You're excluded from chicken parmesan a night. The Situation. Tanning Gym and Laundry, or whatever their logo. The Jersey Shore was the hottest thing in the world for a minute.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrifying?
And terrorist, situation.
Exactly, Kevin. Thank you. The Situation was indicted Friday by federal prosecutors in New Jersey on charges of tax evasion.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, The Situation allegedly evaded his 2011 taxes by failing to file a personal return, filing four false corporate returns for his business, Situation Nation.
Come on.
And concealing his cash income.
His brother was also charged with falsifying records to obstruct a grand jury investigation. They're quite the crime family.
Oh, my gosh.
The Sorrentinos. They could each get 5 years for conspiring to defraud, another 3 years in each count of helping each other prepare false tax returns, 10 years for other counts of obstruction, and another 5 for tax evasion if convicted on all counts. They'll be in court for arraignment on Monday, the 17th.
So. You got to think before you get into a situation.
Right?
PBYP, that ain't no PB&J sandwich.
That's right. Oh, he's going to be somebody's situation.
Yeah, he is.
In the federal pen. It's going to be a very tight situation. He's
going to be in situations. You're situated, and I'm situated. Situations under control.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Steven Seagal. 65 years old today. We're going to call Doto and see how we celebrate Steven Seagal's birthday. Orlando Jones is 49. Actor David Harbour, you know him from Stranger Things and The Newsroom. Very talented man. 43 years old today. You all right?
I love Chief Hopper so much.
Charlie Hunnam's 37. He's a handsome devil.
Soon to be King Arthur, right?
That's right.
Or Chief Hopper.
Jamie Chung, the actress, lovely and talented. She is 34. Mandy Moore is 33. My buddy Haley Joel Osment celebrates his 29th birthday. And actress Daisy Ridley is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks, No Doubt. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ for a Monday morning. Tell you how to win Coachella tickets in just a minute. Actually, maybe I should tell you right now since we don't have Ari on the phone. Hans Zimmer has got to be one of the 3 or 4 most successful movie score composers of all time. Wouldn't you say, Ellie?
For sure.
Wouldn't you put him up there with your Elfman and with your John Williams and a couple other guys who just – you get them on a movie and you got yourself a movie.
Yeah, he's legendary.
Hans Zimmer, as a matter of fact, does the music for the number one film in America this week. He does The Boss Baby. And it seems like he does about every third movie. He does the Batman versus Superman movie. He does the Kung Fu Pandas. He does the Pirates of the Caribbean. He does all these movies. And the reason I bring all of this up is because Hans Zimmer was one of the surprise acts on the bill at Coachella when it was announced.
Yeah.
He's going to be performing his film scores in the desert at Coachella. We're looking for Hans Zimmer fans right now. If you know and love his music from his movies, you got a good opportunity to win some tickets to see him in person for weekend 2 of Coachella. You call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to play a game coming up right after we go to TMZ.com. In the newsroom, our friend Harvey Levin on the line like we do every Monday morning. How are you, Harvey?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good.
Doing fine. Thanks so much for joining us. You know, it's so funny. Last week we talked about Catherine Jackson, the matriarch of the Jackson family, and she had been in Europe, in England, I think you said, for a couple of months, and there was some controversy about that. Does that have something to do with the news that we heard today that Janet Jackson is now divorcing her husband? Was she over there partly for that?
Well, I think so. You know, the dots get connected. Janet had her baby on January 3rd. She separated like a week or so later. And then a week after that, Catherine shows up in London, and everybody's saying, why is she going to London? And it's like, okay, she went to see the baby, but at a point, you don't stay 2 months to see the baby. And, you know, some of Michael's brothers and sisters were saying the reason she was there is she was afraid to come back to the U.S. because she was afraid of her nephew who had been, they say, stealing and abusing her.
Oh,
and,
oh my God.
And it seemed weird, but now all of a sudden, she would stay if Janet separated, there's a baby, and then we find out that Janet actually put her up in a hotel. So it makes more sense that that's why Catherine was there, and it may have been a good diversion to keep her out of the country while they made all these allegations, but it seems like Catherine was kind of dealing with family issues for 2 months in London.
Celebrities are just like us, aren't they, it turns out. No matter how old you are, you want your mom around when things go down. What went wrong with Janet Jackson?
I don't know.
She's been extremely private over the past 5 years since she's been with this guy, but every time she did speak, she talked about how rapturously in love she was.
Right. And when she got married, she didn't announce it for a year. So she is really private. The interesting thing about this is that, you know, she's had prenups in the past. She is very wealthy. He is way wealthier. He's a billionaire. And with prenups, generally, there are a couple of things that will trigger more money in the pot. One is time. And usually 5 years and 10 years make a difference.
I mean, you're speaking some sense, Harvey.
Yeah. I mean, this just crossed the 5 year line. And the other thing that triggers it is a child. So she had a child, crossed the 5 year line, and, you know.
Payday.
Well, but again, I can't tell you that was a motivation, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that typically with these prenups, those are things that get triggered.
Gotcha. All right. Couple other stories while we have you on the line. Harvey Levin talking to us from TMZ.com.
Are we going
to
talk poop?
Yeah, we're going to talk poop. Believe me, I'm saving poop. That's the big finale.
Okay.
The poop story is the greatest thing on the site
right
now.
We're talking poop in a minute.
Okay. Mel B, who is a Spice Girl and was also a judge on America's Got Talent on The X Factor, she's back in the news this week for a very unpleasant reason. What went wrong here, Harvey?
Well, I mean, she says she has been brutally beaten for years by her husband, and that he, I mean, it is just an unbelievable story, if true. You know, he says it's not, but she says he beat her so badly that there were times they couldn't cover it up with theatrical makeup, and he would do it right before she would perform on TV.
Uh-huh.
And she says he did it because every time she achieved some success, he wanted to beat her down to control her. And so he beat her, he beat her, he beat her. He forced her to do three ways, videotaped them, extorted her, saying he'd release the tapes, ruin her career, have the kids taken away. So she's telling this just unbelievable story. We are told that the person who finally got her to say, look, you've got to get out of this, is Simon Cowell. And Simon talked to her last month after her dad died and said, you've got to get out of this relationship. He's a bad guy. And she did. And now she has filed for divorce. She got a restraining order against him. And it does not look like she's going back. Now, he denies all of this and mm-hmm. says that this is just her posturing, but this has nothing to do with. And by the way, now, you know, he had the house raided because he's not allowed to have a gun. He was convicted earlier of a domestic violence issue involving another woman. And Mel says he has a gun. So the feds are investigating him. It is just an absolute mess.
Wow, you know, it's so funny, Harvey. It's not funny, but it's curious. We look up from the outside of these relationships, and it looks so obvious how bad it is, and why doesn't she run? But there are so many complicated issues that keep women in relationships like this. So if Simon Cowell is the one that was able to break the cycle, more power to him, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a real good friend right there.
Absolutely.
All right, the poop story is my favorite thing on TMZ right now. This is Otta Cruz, and a couple of pretty big names are now banned for life from Norwegian cruise lines because of poop. What happened?
Well, it wasn't just a cruise. It was the Grand Cruise.
And, oh, no.
And it was on Norwegian cruise lines, and it was awesome. So what we found out, TMZ Sports found out that DJ Hukid and Waka Flocka have been banned for life on the Norwegian cruise line because the cruise people seem to think that they put poop behind a pool area and put a $20 bill on top of the poop, and they're blaming it on DJ Hukid and Waka Flocka.
Wait, is this real poop or fake poop?
Real poop.
Oh, no.
No, this is not fake poop.
Well, that's a prank. Fake poop. This is awful.
Well, I think that's a fair point.
So what's the $20 about? Is that to pay whoever the poor cruise ship employee is who has to clean it up? Is that what that's about?
That's exactly what it was.
Oh,
who wants
God,
that $20 bill
story.
After you pull it out of the poop? Who wants it?
Well, no, the best part is Who Kid said that the money was left for whoever had to clean it up out of respect.
Oh, no.
Bad Who Kid.
What's going on, Harvey? Why would anyone do this?
I don't know. I mean, come on. I'm just reporting this stuff. I almost said a different word than stuff, and it would have absolutely aligned with what happened.
Don't shoot the messenger, you guys.
Exactly.
All right, TMZ.com for all of this. A great Mariah Carey story you got to see as well. You can look for TMZ on your TV, Fox Channel 11 all throughout the day. And, of course, TMZ Live airs at 4, same channel, 11. TMZ Sports airs Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, we haven't mentioned this in a while, but you and your family and your visiting friends for the summer should definitely take the TMZ tour. Get it all at TMZ.com. Harvey, have a great week, my friend. We'll do it again next Monday. Thank you.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ for a Monday morning. By the way, Allie, did I mention that Mr. T will be here in the 8 o'clock hour this morning?
You can't mention it enough.
Mr. T, a contestant, of course, on this season of Dancing with the Stars. It's been a while since we had him in. It's always fun to catch up with T, so that is coming up. Right now, though, we want to take care of some business. It's the K-Rock Countdown to Coachella. It is on weekend one, happening this weekend. You're going to win tickets, a sold-out three-day pass to weekend two right now at 1-800-520-1067. Celebrating the music of one of the acts playing in the desert the next two weekends is the great Hans Zimmer, the film composer. That's why this game is called Zimmer the Hits.
Tickets to Coachella, it's weekend number two. And boy, do we have a doozy of a game for you. We're gonna Zimmer the Hits, just please don't be a big midwit. So come along and play right now, it's Zimmer the Hits.
Why isn't Omar scoring more movies? That's good stuff right there. All right, it's as simple as this. We're going to play a popular theme song from a famous movie that Hans Zimmer did the music for. All you have to do is identify it by title, and you go into the drawing to win the tickets. We'll just take them in order here, Chip, and start with line one in Long Beach and get John on the line to get us going. Hey, John.
How you doing, Bean?
Doing fine, man. This is a good way to start a Monday morning if you can win some Coachella tickets. So I can only play it for you one time. Here's a Hans Zimmer theme. You tell me the movie. Good luck, sir.
Got it.
That is great stuff, John. What movie is it?
I'm going to go with Gladiator.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well done. You are in the drawing. That's how you play it right there. Let's go to Austin, also in Long Beach, up next, line two. Hey, Austin.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Says here that you work in the movie business. Is that true?
That is kind of not true. I'm a 3D animator, but I do architectural rendering.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right. Well, who doesn't love Hans Zimmer and the great movies that he's scored over the years? I hope you do. Listen up. Here's yours. Good luck. What do you think there, Austin?
I have no idea. I'm going to throw a guess out. Thin Red Line?
No, I'm sorry. That was the Dark Knight theme. The Dark Knight. Would have been a good guess. Thank you for playing. Appreciate that, sir. Let's go to David. I thought he was in Burbank, but Beer Mug wrote it down as Brewbank, so I guess that's where he is.
Brewbank's where it's at.
David, how are things in Brewbank today?
Brewbank is amazing today.
All right. Good luck. We're playing Zimmer the Hits.
Zimmer the Hits.
And here's your song. What's the movie? What say you, David?
Ooh, that sounds very familiar. Rush?
No, I'm sorry. It was The Late, by the way. Could this Hans Zimmer performance be? If they sync his performance up with clips from the movies out there, that's going to be fun, right?
I'm with you.
All right. Let's try Andrew in Hollywood. He's up next, line four. Andrew, how you been doing listening on hold playing Zimmer the Hits?
Zimmer the Hits.
Absolutely terrible.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Let's see how it goes for you. Good luck, sir. I heard you squawking as soon as it began. What did you say?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, there you go. You're in the drawing.
Let's go.
You haven't won the tickets yet, but you're closer. By the way, big ups for Gabby, K-Rock listener Gabby, last week who sang the Pirates of the Caribbean theme, remember, for listener Oki. That's what inspired us.
The best ever.
Right. That's why we're doing Zimmer the Hits today.
Zimmer the Hits.
Time for a couple more. Let's go to HB. Let's get Robert on the line. He's line five. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Bean and Allie.
Hi, Robert.
All right, good morning. Hans Zimmer is the composer. He's playing Coachella. We want you to win tickets to see him. Here's the movie. What do you think there, sir?
God, Thin Red Line.
No, I'm sorry. It's more Asian than that. We were looking for Kung Fu Panda.
Oh,
all right. Thank you for the call. Chip, he sounds so sad.
Come on. Don't laugh at Robert.
Let's do one more.
Disappointment was so good.
Let's go to La Palma and Sandra. She's up next. Our final contestant for Zimmer the Hits.
Zimmer the Hits.
All right, Sandra, good luck. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Name it, Sandra.
I'm going to go with Interstellar.
Oh, so close. It was Inception.
They both have eyes.
They both had eyes with a little spin and top. I'm so sorry you didn't win, but thank you for playing anyway. Andrew, John, one of them will win tickets for sold-out three-day passes for weekend two of Coachella. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Andrew.
Yay!
Andrew.
Yeah!
Way to go, man. Have fun in the desert. Go see that Hans Zimmer show and give us a call back afterwards and let us know how it was, all right?
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you for playing Zimmer the Hits.
Zimmer the Hits.
Just after 8 o'clock this morning, like we do on Mondays, our friend LaQuisha joins us to recap Friday night's, Mama June from Not to Hot. Mm. Where are we on that story, Ralph? Do you remember?
She's
Mama
not,
June,
not
is she hot.
Hot
yet?
Not yet?
Not yet.
Never will be.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so she might be considered hot by some.
By whom?
But Joe?
No. Joe does not think she's hot at all. I had a long conversation with Joe.
Let's wait and see what LaQuisha has
she's not
say.
Hot.
Maybe,
you don't have to wait for
Mama
LaQuisha.
June is hot now.
You
don't know, man.
No.
Has she lost the weight
yeah,
yet in the show?
She's thinner.
Okay.
But that they should have changed the title of the show. From not to thinner.
Okay.
It doesn't
she's
quite
not hot.
Not
catchy, though.
Well, I'm sorry, but truth in advertising, right? Of course, that show did have her in a fat suit, so.
Yeah.
Really not about truth in advertising.
Not at all about truth in advertising. That'll be LaQuisha at 8 o'clock. First, though, Rob is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Just want to double check. I heard what I heard during that Hans Zimmer game you were playing. Did you, in fact, Bean, say big ups to someone?
I thought maybe I was
having a stroke or I had time travel to 1995.
That's an expression.
I'm sorry, what is it now? It's an expression, is it?
Yes.
I see.
A thing that can be said by people.
Big ups. Big ups to Gabby. Listen, Bean, don't ever say that again.
Oh.
No?
No.
No one big ups?
See, this is the problem about living in a bubble is... And if you don't interact with the world, you don't hear what the kids are saying these days.
Oh, I thought Big Ups was still very in.
Weather!
He gets his milk in the morning. He's like, Big Ups, my brother. The best! I love it so much.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Bean.
You're adorable. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Boss Baby continues. Kick some Boss Baby Butt. $26.3 million made it number one. Beauty and the Beast was number two with 25 mil. Smurfs. The Lost Village debuted with $14 million. That was good enough to make it number three. Going in Style debuted with $12.5 million at number four. Ghost in the Shell was fifth. Then Power Rangers, Kong Skull Island, Logan, Get Out, and The Case for Christ. Rounding out your top 10 movies at the box.
I haven't even seen The Shack yet, and now I got to go see The Case for Christ.
You'll catch up on all your important Jesus movies. Hey, just want to give you a heads up tonight. Tonight is the season 3 premiere of Better Call Saul. And of course, Cinnabon is taking advantage of that. You may remember that the second to last episode of Breaking Bad. Saul Goodman told Walter White he was leaving the criminal life behind. If I'm lucky a month from now, best case scenario, I'm managing a Cinnabon in Omaha, he said. So Cinnabon is tying in with Better Call Saul tonight. In this episode, you'll see him working at a Cinnabon. And as part of the deal, Cinnabon's hanging out free Bond Bites from 5 to 7 p.m. today.
Love a Cinnabon
Come on,
in the evening.
Bond Bites. Who doesn't like a nice Bond Bite after dinner?
What about the morning when people are eating
what
Cinnabon?
What is your time restraints with Cinnabon?
Anytime's a good time for Cinnabon.
Yeah, you're probably right. But
thank you.
I'd prefer it in the morning.
By the way, the Cinnabon is also giving away a briefcase filled with $4,999.
Oh, my.
As part of their promotion for the new season.
Wow.
Right? You enter your email address, you unlock a special video, and then you're entered in the contest to win the briefcase.
All right.
Go to Cinnabon.com/... BCS sweeps. BCS sweeps for Better Call Saul sweepstake.
Mmm, delicious.
Hey, Bean, did you make your way to St. Louis yesterday?
My wife was out of town.
So I couldn't
go. What?
It would seem like that'd be the perfect time to go if you don't have any obligations to your wife.
I have obligations to my dogs.
Dogs are the worst.
But I did read all about it. I saw the photos, saw the flower arrangements that everybody sent, and the guitar there in the casket. And
big ups to the florist.
it looked like a nice event.
Oh,
sorry, I missed it.
There was so much death there. You could have usually just rolled around in it.
There was a dead guy in a coffin.
Yeah, sure was. Chuck Berry fans is what we're referring to. Chuck Berry fans from all over the world made the pilgrims to St. Louis yesterday to pay their respects to the late father of rock and roll. Chuck's body was laid out in an open coffin with a cherry red Gibson electric guitar bolted to the inside of the lid.
It was pretty cool. They're burying him with a guitar.
That's bolted to the lid. He can't play that.
Well, he
or
wakes up,
can
though.
Can he?
Yeah.
Huh?
Bill Clinton was there. Paul McCartney was there. Little Richard was there. Gene Simmons of Kiss made a speech.
Wow.
And then tried to sell him a Kiss coffin. They already had one. At the end of the ceremony, Chuck was carried out as a brass band played the St. Louis Blues. And then somebody came by.
Come on. Let's not focus on that. That's not the legacy.
I held up a sign to Ralph that just said, smell my fart.
Smell my fart.
That's not the legacy we want for the most important figure in rock and roll history.
Why did you show me that video, Ralph? I can't not think of it.
Apparently photos from the funeral were leaked, which was appropriate as we say goodbye to Chuck.
Oh, God.
Wipe yourself off.
I hope most of our listeners have no idea what you're talking about.
Do yourself a favor.
Don't.
Go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and punch up Chuck Berry humiliates a hooker.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Do yourself a favor. Give you a little perspective on the kind of guy Chuck Berry was.
But that's not what's important about
Chuck
Berry. It
is what's important.
His contribution was immense.
Garbage. He was a piece of garbage
forever.
Who ran afoul of the law for putting cameras in the toilets in the woman's restroom of the restaurant he owned.
I'm not saying he wasn't personally morally deficient. I'm saying that's
morally
not
deficient.
What,
he was morally bankrupt.
Let's not forget the teenager
that he brought across state lines.
Oh, there was that too. Yeah, the 14-year-old.
He is the founder of ISIS.
And I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he invented ISIS.
Smell my fart.
Smell my fart. Today's celebrity birthdays. Steven Seagal is 65 years old today. Orlando Jones is 49.
Come on.
Oh, it's like Chuck is with us. We're having a seance. Chuck, if you can hear us, give us a sign. Actor David Harbour is 43 years old today, you know, from Stranger Things in the Newsroom.
And Manhattan, by the way, he was so great on that show.
Okay. Charlie Hunnam, the Viking. Was he a Viking?
I don't think so. No. He was Sons of Anarchy.
Who's the dreamy guy who was the Viking?
Different dude.
We had him in. Another blonde, hunky dude.
Different guy with a different name who wasn't the same person as Charlie Hunnam.
I like Charlie Hunnam. He was the Son of Anarchy.
Sure. That's correct.
Yes.
But he wasn't a Viking. But he looked like that Viking.
He could be a Viking.
He could very much be a Viking if he wanted to be. He'd be anything he wants. It's America.
Good point.
Not my fault. Jamie Chung is 34 years old today. Mandy Moore is 33. Haley Joel Osment, my buddy from Tusk, Yoga Hosers, 29 years old today. And Daisy Ridley.
Aww.
25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LA and OC's alternative rock. That's Muse. Radiohead coming up Monday morning. Kevin and Bean show here on good old K-Rock. Allie, you're not a collector at all, are you, of anything?
Not particularly, no. I have a bunch of Star Wars stuff, but I wouldn't call it a collection, per se.
Yeah, you start delving into Star Wars, you know that there are people out there who have thousands of items.
Right.
You know, Ralph's got an amazing Batman 66 collection. I don't really collect anything, but I've never really delved into it, but there have been collections I've been impressed with. There was a guy I read about recently who has autographs from all 45 U.S. presidents, for instance. Like, to me, that's a super interesting collection.
Is it?
And I can't even... I can't imagine what you'd have to go through to get them, to collect those.
I don't care.
Okay, not at all.
Nope.
Well, the reason I bring all this up is if you are a Bruce Springsteen collector, this is the auction for you. The Ultimate Springsteen Collection.
Okay.
There is a guy who has over 300 pieces of Springsteen memorabilia.
Wow.
Including his 4F card from the draft board, excusing him from service in the Vietnam War. Lots of handwritten lyrics, including early versions of Born to Run with different words. Born in the USA, 10th Avenue Freezeouts. Also, the shirt that he wore, that Springsteen wore on the cover of the River album, is part of this collection.
Oh my.
A driver's license, an 8th grade report card, a passport photo.
Wow.
The leather jacket that Bruce Springsteen wore on the album cover for Born to Run.
Wow.
It's kind of unbelievable that one person can get this many items together and put them up for auction. So it's a collector's dream auction. It is estimated that together this over 300 pieces will go for $7.5 million.
Wow.
No word on why he's deciding to sell now instead of keep on collecting. But we thought, you know what? What must that be like for the boss himself to see somebody have accumulated so much stuff over all this time? And how does he feel about that stuff being sold? So we asked Dave if there's any way we could get Bruce back on the line. It's always a pleasure to talk to him. Bruce Springsteen back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, boss?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing fine. Thanks so much for joining us. This auction is getting a lot of attention online. A lot of your fans are really excited about it.
Yeah, well... I don't know how many of my fans can afford $7.5 million, you said, for this stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's what it's estimated to go. But it might be broken up. They might sell it off individually, too.
If I'd known it was worth that much, I would have held on to all that stuff.
Yeah.
A shirt and an eighth grade report card. That's great. I don't even know how this guy got all this.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, is how does somebody literally get the shirt off your back after an album shoot?
It's not so much the clothing and things. You know, I see stuff pop up from time to time in rock and roll auctions, but my driver's license from 1974.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know where I put that, and now someone else has got it. It's a little weird.
It's spooky almost.
It is.
It's a little strange thinking somebody has that kind of stuff from your life, you know.
It's personal,
A little stalkerish, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of when I was growing up in Freehold, New Jersey. There was a teenage girl that I used to look at across the street. She lived down the street from me, from St. Rose's, where the Springsteen family had their home. I remember from my bedroom window, if I climbed out into the tree, I could see into her bedroom. And sometimes on summer nights, she would have the draperies open, the window open to let the breeze come in. Those Jersey nights can get awful humid.
Right.
So she would sometimes just be in there in her room, and she'd be singing along to the radio into a hairbrush. And
right.
I remember I had a crush on her, and I wanted to meet her, so I waited one night until she left the house, and
I hope this ends up with you guys falling in love.
She was going to the boardwalk, and I said, "Hey, my name's Bruce," and she said, "Oh, leave me alone, Bruce. I see you looking in my window." She was wearing a scarf, and I said, "Let me just have that scarf to remember you by. It's my little collectible from her." She said, "No, I'm not going to give you the scarf." So I grabbed both ends of the scarf and wrapped it around her neck.
Oh, my God, Bruce.
Bruce, why?
No, Bruce.
Why did this have to go like this?
As the eyes started to bug out of her head.
Why do you always kill?
I get...
Why is there so much murder?
I get the sense she wishes she had given me the scarf. I slowly watched her pale face droop to one side. Slowly collapse there on the sidewalk near the beach.
This is terrible.
Not as terrible as dragging her body out to the beach to dig that hole. I didn't have a shovel or anything back then. Just had to use my hands. It took me about 30 minutes, but I got that scarf.
Well, that's the important thing.
That's a beautiful sound. That is what you want to wake up to right there. Am I right?
No.
Hey, guys, Radiohead, Friday night, Coachella, weekend number one. We've got tickets you can win for weekend number two, a pair of sold-out three-day passes coming up later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, just around 9 a.m. We got those tickets for you. Then throughout the day at noon, 3 and 6. LaQuisha joins us at 8 o'clock, and then right after that, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. T.
Yay!
So pumped.
Mr. T will be here. Monday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show, Ali said something off the air at the end of last week that surprised me. And I'm not sure why it surprised me. I guess because it's just a topic that had never come up before. But what's going on in your neighborhood, Ali?
A lot of break-ins recently. I'd say, actually, probably the last year, there's just been a rash of break-ins. We're talking middle-of-the-day break-ins, knocking on the door, someone answers, you're overpowered type of break-ins as well. A lot of car break-ins. It's just become kind of sketchy in my neighborhood. And it's not okay.
It's not okay. Do they think it's some sort of organized gang or something? It's just...
They're not sure. They said it's a nice neighborhood, so it's just a target.
You know, Kevin's not here today. He'll be back tomorrow. But I think he was talking the other day about a similar situation going on in Tarzana and other places in the valley where it's just been a swarm of break-ins lately.
Thanks, Obama.
I don't know what that's about.
Right?
I don't think he's – I'm not sure. He may not be president anymore.
Okay. Sorry. I get confused. Yeah. So I wound up saying I am thinking about getting a gun, putting a cap in someone's ass. Well, I didn't really say the last part, but I am thinking about a gun for some protection, some peace of mind.
Now,
because,
is this something you had thought of in the past, or is this a new thought?
It's more of a new thought. I've shot guns in the past, but I never really thought I'd have one in my house until this past week when somebody broke in to the back of my home, which scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
So it's very unsettling, and just peace of mind. I think I'd like to know that I had something there should they have gotten into my house instead of just my back door and the laundry room. Don't ding that bell. I saw you looking at it. Okay.
I
think it would be just something for a little bit of peace of mind because I have not slept in the past week. Every single thing, every noise I hear, I'm upright in bed.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know that somebody was that close to getting into your business, right?
Yeah.
Getting into your coming in there for your stuff or worse for you.
Right. Yeah,
and
this was in the middle of the night.
Thought.
This wasn't during the day. This was the middle of the night when
you're home.
You would assume people are home. So that's a desperation that I'm not sure I want to deal with again.
How comfortable are you with the idea of using a gun?
Not very. But I have shot guns in the past, and if I did actually get a gun, I would take lessons and do all that to make sure I knew what I was doing. But I'm telling you, if someone's in your house, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would have to be the most common reason why people get a gun, right, is for self-defense.
You would think, yeah.
And then you start to think about all of the ways that situation could unfold. Then you have to start thinking, look, I'm not trying to in any way to discourage you from doing this. In my mind, I'm just thinking, okay, how does that work in real life? Do you sleep with it under your pillow?
Is it under your bed?
Do you put the gun someplace that's separate from the ammo? Or do you not need to do that because you live alone? It's not like you have to worry about little kids getting into it. So you could keep it someplace loaded if you wanted, right?
Sure.
What would that situation be? Would that be just in a dresser drawer in the bedroom? Is that what you would think?
I mean, that's full, if you know what I'm saying. What? I'm sorry. That's just inappropriate. Yeah, I probably would keep it loaded. And if people were coming over, that type of thing, make sure it's obviously nowhere to be seen. But yeah, I don't have to worry about a child getting to it or somebody getting to it, which is another freedom that I have, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, because I think that would be a reason to discourage a lot of people from getting a gun.
Right, because that's when horrible things happen.
When horrible things happen.
Finds it in a drawer and then, oof.
I mean, look, you want to have some way to defend yourself when somebody gets in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to put yourself in the sheer panic of that moment.
Yeah.
But you'd be willing to get up out of bed, walk over to the dresser, pull a gun out, and then just stand there waiting for your bedroom door to open. And you'd be comfortable enough to pull the trigger.
As opposed to laying in my bed knowing, okay, I'm about to get raped or murdered or mm-hmm. both. Oh, I'm putting a bullet right in your head.
You'd be ready for
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. Yeah. Any reservations at all about getting a gun? Is there any reason you can think of where you think it maybe isn't a good idea?
No. All right. Back to you. No, I really don't. I really don't. If it's something that obviously you would go through the proper channels, this isn't, mm-hmm. you know, somebody with a mental illness going in all willy-nilly buying a gun. Chip, right. I don't like the look you just gave me. Inappropriate. But I would go through all the proper channels and make sure I knew how to use it. And
right.
I think, yeah, it's...
I wonder, by the way, this might be interesting because I'm sure there's a large percentage of our audience that has guns mm. and an even larger percentage who have had this conversation with their friends or with their family about whether they ought to get one because, look, it's a dangerous world out there. No one ever expects that they're going to be the victim of a home invasion or of a crime or whatever. But if in the horrible event that it does happen, is that a way to be prepared? Is that something you should do? It'd be interesting to hear what the listeners have to say and what advice they have on that decision, on how to make a decision that's right for you at 1-800-520-1067. I mean, you seem like you'd be a good candidate for it.
Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that.
You know, it's just even with proper training, I mean, you talk about how you'd want to make sure that you know how to use it.
Right.
And most people who do that, they go to a range once a year or something like that. I wonder how much that really prepares you for an actual real-life situation with somebody who's breaking into his 30th home.
Well, I think it better prepares you, obviously, than never having shot a gun. I think people that get a gun and have never shot it, that's dangerous for everyone involved. You have to know how to shoot it, and there are so many guns that just the sound of, like, the pump or whatever that is, I should learn that before I say it, but that will sometimes scare off somebody, or ones with the laser pointer. You see that red light come on, and they're out of there.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of ways just to dissuade somebody without even shooting it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the equivalent of they're much more less likely to break into a car if it has an alarm, for instance. You know what I mean? It's because it's just before they even get to the thing, let's run them off.
Yeah.
Have you given much thought to what kind of gun you should have?
I haven't. I would like to go in and check them out, whether it's like a
Because I don't know anything
Glock
about
or,
guns.
I shot an Israeli assault rifle, and I know that's not for me.
maybe too much weapon?
It might be too much. But yeah, it's probably a revolver or a Glock. They might be the same thing.
Some of those guns are way easier to shoot than other guns, right?
Yeah, you don't want something with huge recoil. You want to be able to actually not hurt yourself if you're trying to defend yourself.
Now, will you be using the same weapon for deer hunting?
How dare you? No.
No.
I'll put a cap in a person's ass before I put it in deer.
All right. Let's take one before the break. The phones are blowing up on this. A lot of people have a lot of advice at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Fernando? He's in Valencia. He's up first. He's on line two. Allie is thinking of getting a gun.
Yeah. Well, I have a kind of a recommendation for that. I heard nowadays you kind of have to shoot off a warning shot.
What?
And... yeah, you can't just shoot the person as they get through your door.
Hold on a second. If Allie's in her bedroom and someone opens that bedroom door at 3 a.m. that's not invited and isn't bringing food, she should be allowed to shoot him, I would think.
How do you prove that they're not invited?
He shouldn't have to put his hands around her neck before she can defend herself.
How do you prove they're not invited? They're a stranger in your home.
At the end of the day, you still got to fire off a warning shot. And from what I've heard is a good way to get around this is if you own a shotgun, you use rubber bullets. That way the first shot can be directly at the person inside your home. You can shoot them twice with rubber bullets. If that doesn't get them out there, the next one would be your deadly round. And that gets you out of all your court cases, gets you away from having to go to court and everything else because your warning shots were rubber bullets.
I think you're, I'm going to source you on your warning shot. That doesn't sound right to me. I don't think I'm not sure you're right about that, but you could know more about it than I do. You probably do. But how about rubber bullets, Allie? Any interest in that?
No.
Okay.
Nah. You're getting a bullet in your head.
This is Allie shoot to kill McKay saying. We're talking
Listen,
about here.
Listen, if you're in my home and you're not invited, you're not up. You're not coming in to say, hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
Do you need a glass of water?
Yeah,
no, I'm not waiting around to see what you're doing and if a warning shot is going to make you leave.
Thank you for the call, Fernando. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. What say you? Allie's getting a gun. Good idea, bad idea, and what kind of gun should she get? And tell us what else we need to know. We're just at the early steps of this process. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. We're taking your calls this morning here at 1-800-520-1067. Allie is getting a gun.
Allie's getting a gun.
Thank you, Omar. Let's take one before we hear the All-American Rejects. It's going to be Dan. He's in Pico Rivera, line one. Dan, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. You have some advice for Allie. What is it?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Yeah, honestly, best advice is to get a shotgun. Handguns can have crazy recoil sometimes. The shotguns, you can shoot them in the face. And, like, remember, Dick Cheney did that. I mean, sometimes they'll die, sometimes they won't, but you'll win either way. So, in the sound of the pump alone, that'll scare anyone. So, honestly, get the shotgun.
Hmm. Allie is a tiny person. Recoil is something she should be seriously thinking about before she buys a gun, it sounds like.
It actually is. The thing about the shotgun with the recoil it has, you still have a huge range of hitting someone. With the smaller handgun, it'll recoil, you can go right by them.
What do you think, Allie?
I'm going to have to check it out. I feel like a shotgun, that seems like a lot more work. Two hands and stuff.
It is, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. All right. That's a good tip, Dip.
Okay, thank you. What?
Good tip, Dan.
Thanks
for the call. More after the rejects on K-Rock. Oops, sorry. Minutes away from the great Mr. T visiting us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Also, I forgot to mention this. We'll tell you how you can win tickets for the Clippers in the playoffs. How about that? Taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Allie is thinking of getting a gun, and we are taking...
Allie's getting a gun.
Craig writes in, and tell me if this is something you've thought about, Allie. Mm-hmm. Shooting is a depreciable skill. If you don't continuously shoot and practice under stress, you will miss. All right, that's point A. I think we covered that. He also says, you own every round you fire, even if you miss. Don't forget that bullets go through walls and into other houses. Now, what's the law on that if you shoot at a dude and it goes through him and then also through your back wall and into your neighbor?
Yeah, I think that's why you buy the hollow point. Ones, because once those go in someone, they just kind of explode within them. They don't go or into a wall, that type of thing. It doesn't go through. Mm-hmm. So for close quarters, that's what you do.
And the reason you think a gun instead of like a baseball bat or something like that is you're a girl who's tiny and you don't want to get into any kind of hand-to-hand combat with an intruder. You want to end it.
I'd like to end it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take Bob. He's in Porter Ranch. He's up first for this segment, line 8 here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Bob, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's your advice for Allie?
Hey, party people.
Hey.
You know, I've been contemplating this for quite some time. There was an intruder that came into my house while my wife and my son, my 3-year-old, were sleeping in our bed.
Oh.
And yeah, I heard some noises, and I went downstairs and I saw a flashlight in my living room, and I ran after them in my underwear and flip flops, and I caught up with them and I took my laptop back, and the guy engages me. We fist fight in the middle of the street.
Oh my gosh.
I saw that my bicycle was in the back as well as his truck.
Oh, man.
So I stopped the truck, and I got the bike, and they sped off. And then they came back to the property a week later and went into the jacuzzi. And we called the police. We caught them, and I just put the guy away for 5 years and the girl away for 2 years. So put an alarm system in our house, but it's still kind of shaky, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I'm always worried at night, and
every sound now seems so different. Like things that I would just write off, like, oh, that's someone using their dryer next door.
Right.
Now I'm like,
that's
a
squirrel.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I lost the thread of that. So you did not have a gun. You hit him, right?
I did not have a gun. I ran after them. We fist fought in the middle of the street, and then I took some martial arts and jiu-jitsu lessons. So I handled myself, and we ended up catching the guy and the girl, and I just put the guy away for 5 years. They were apparently high on heroin when they came into my house. That's why they came back to the property.
And you had really good stuff, it sounds like. We're going to need an address from you before we let you go here, Bob.
Nope.
And well, it's actually Paul, but nevertheless.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. Let's go to Wayne, Anaheim, Line 6, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, it's 50-50 when Muggs is answering the phones, whether he's going to get your name right.
I mean,
it's
Bob,
really,
Paul,
it's,
whatever.
I mean, they do sound similar. Wayne, what say you?
I don't know. What caliber gun have you shot before?
I have shot a ton of different guns, and I couldn't even tell you what they were just during live shots with my old station. I would
have you tried a 1911, a 45 1911 Springfield?
That sounds like math, and I don't think so.
No, actually, you think the 45 would have more kick than it does, but mm-hmm. it actually doesn't. A 40 caliber has more kick than a 45.
Okay.
And I was going to say, because either a 9mm or at least a 45, I think, would do good for a woman to have to protect herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that first dude that was talking, saying about warning shots, he is talking out his butt.
Yeah, that's what everybody is saying. Right. That. I think that is the consensus.
I used to go for Anaheim PD, mm-hmm. Buena Park PD, Fullerton PD, and CHP. I've asked all of them. They have all sat there and said, someone comes in your house, you shoot to kill. If you don't kill them, they will sue you and win.
Well, the police officer that came to my house told me that you have to prove that you thought your life was legitimately in harm's way. That's something you have to be able to prove if you do shoot.
Yeah. Well, you're a single female living by yourself. To me, that's good enough proof for me.
That's what I said to the police officer. And so then I asked him to come by later, and he was not feeling it. But
thank you for the call, Wade. Appreciate that. So the takeaway from listeners seems to be you got to pick a weapon that's appropriate for your size. So we're talking for you, probably, Allie, a smaller caliber gun like a 9mm.
Not a lot of recoil, for sure.
All right. We only got time for one more. Any of these on the screen you like? Anything that you think will be useful to you before we have to take a break on this?
I think the Glock call, because that's the one I was thinking.
All right, let's try Lizelle then. He is in Monrovia. He'll be our final call on this, but thanks to everybody who weighed in. Lizelle, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Hi, Allie.
Hi.
You're a badass. You can handle a Glock. I would say a 19 or a 17, 9mm. You're right about the hollow points, you know, in close quarters like that.
Mm-hmm.
That should be sufficient.
Lizelle, do you have a gun?
I do.
And what was the tell me the story of that? How was the decision arrived at, and how long have you had it, and have you ever had to use it?
Well, I've always been around guns because my brother is a fanatic, and then my husband also got into them. So, you know, after years of actually not shooting, I began shooting again, and I've got three kids of my own who I want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Times are getting crazy out there.
They are. That sounds like a real extra layer of work when you got a household full of little kids. How do you manage that with your gun?
The thing is that my husband is really smart about gun safety. My kids have been drilled since they were five about naming gun parts. What do you do if you come across a gun? What happens if you're at a friend's house, you come across a gun? They've been drilled before they've even ever touched a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
If you don't make the gun so taboo for them, if they understand how they work and how dangerous they can be and how to use them properly, then you're less likely to have accidents. And not only that, it is the law. You do have to keep them locked up, which we do.
Gotcha.
So
all righty.
To them.
Well,
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate the call, and thanks to everybody that we didn't have time for. So what's the next step for you, Allie McKay?
I am going to check out a shop and then take some lessons at a range.
All right.
Make my decision.
Times. You guys, Allie's getting a gun.
Allie's getting a gun.
Hey!
Nice.
Ralph, have you met Wild West Allie yet?
Yeah, sure have. You're going to get her some weapons. Look out for them vermins.
You have a new motto to live by, Allie?
Yeah, I had never heard this, but you guys had, and it tickled me. Somebody on Twitter, Stacy, tweeted, "Atta girl, Allie, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6, McKay."
Yeah. Going to shoot and dead. Ask questions later.
Listen,
we're going to take out them banditos. We don't cotton to that behavior around here.
It's not the Wild West. It's a break-in in my home. Scary times.
I like it. Hey, before Ralph does the showbiz beat here, let me tell you that we have Los Angeles Clippers playoff tickets to give away. The Clippers, by the way, are getting hot at the right time. They have won 9 of their last 11 games, just 2 games to go. But we're going to give you a pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Clippers in their first home game of the NBA playoffs at Staples Center. All you have to do is listen for the great Ralph Lawler, the voice of the Clippers. You'll hear him sometime in the next hour here on K-Rock. When you hear Ralph Lawler talking about K-Rock, you call us at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 will win those basketball playoff tickets. Go Clippers. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
There's only room for one Ralph around these parts.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot him down, that Ralph Lawler. Oh, that no good sign winding belly suck sapping no good dilly whacker.
You happy with that?
Not only is that authentic frontier gibberish, but I believe that Van Johnson's right when he says Howard Johnson's right. Here's what you do, Allie.
Yeah?
I heard a lot of people going back and forth between the shotgun and the handgun.
Uh-huh.
What you do is you get yourself a handgun, nice, powerful handgun, like a 9mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just get the shot shells, which is basically ammunition for a 9mm handgun, but it is made up of a shotgun shell. It has pellets.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just the single bullet, it shoots a concentrated spray of pellets like a shotgun does.
Okay. And that will still kill someone.
Sure.
Mm, but not as good.
Well, here's the thing. If you got a bullet
and
you're not a proficient handgun user or shooter, the odds of missing with a single shot are pretty good in the heat of the moment.
Okay.
But if you use these shot shells, it gives you a larger spray of
and can you
stopping
buy
power.
Hollow point shot shells?
Well, hollow point is... that's to destroy someone.
Well, it's for close quarters, too. You don't want to spray the whole neighborhood.
Well, it's not a howitzer.
I don't think you've seen my work.
You get a wider spray, and you get more stopping power that way. So it's like a shotgun, but it's a handgun.
I don't get it.
Do you have a gun, Ralph?
I do, yeah. My father was a big handgun, not just a handgun, but a big firearms fan and collector. And so when I was a lad, he would take me out to the range, and that was part of our father-son
bonding
was we'd go to the shooting range.
Do you want to go to the range with me?
No.
A little bit?
Nope.
Smidge?
Not even a little.
Let's go.
Nope.
Okay.
Top 10 movies at the box office. The Boss Baby opened up last week at number one. Still number one this week. $26.3 million. Made it. Kept its place at number one. Beauty and the Beast was second with 25 mil. Then Smurfs, The Lost Village with 14 million. Going in Style debuted with 12.5 million, making it number four. Ghost in the Shell was fifth. Power Rangers, sixth. Kong, Skull Island at number seven. Logan, Get Out, and The Case for Christ were your top 10 films at the box office. Speaking of films, they just dropped the brand new teaser trailer from Marvel Studios' Thor Ragnarok. Ragnarok! Things are not going well for Thor in this film. First, Kate Blanchett shows up and she grabs his hammer, right?
Oh.
Crushes his hammer. You don't want Kate doing that to your hammer. Then Jeff Goldblum's in there. He's all screwing with things. And then, as if things aren't bad enough, first looks like Thor gets banished to some battle planet. He's got to go up against, he's got to fight in the arena for the pleasure of the onlookers. And who's he going face to face with?
Loki?
Hulk.
Oh.
Hulk shows up.
Wait, Hulk?
Right.
Is that normal?
Is what normal? The
for
Hulk shows
to
up?
Show up in a Thor movie?
Aren't they all Avengers?
They're all Avengers, Allie. They all know each other.
But I feel like they should be friends. Why would they fight?
That's what Thor thinks when Hulk shows up. Here's a clip.
We know each other. He's a friend from work.
Oh, come on.
But now they have to fight.
Right? And Led Zeppelin plays?
And Zeppelin plays, yeah.
I come from the land of the ice and snow.
Anyway, it just looks awesome. Just looks so awesome. No word on why Hulk's so angry at him or why they're fighting, but I guess we'll find out. But come on. We get to see Hela on the big screen. Loki's back. Right?
Yeah.
No one else excited?
I'm excited.
You're not excited. Movies and theaters everywhere on November 3rd, so we're going to have to wait a little while until the fall rolls around, but still, some good stuff right there.
And Kanye West has something for you. Vogue magazine is reporting that his Yeezy fashion line is now selling jewelry. You'd be happy to know you can get a ring, a Yeezy ring, for the low price of $1,500. A bracelet will run you $9,500. And, of course, you can get the 18-carat yellow gold chain and pendant that sells for a mere $13,000.
How could you explain that?
If you want to pick up some Yeezy jewelry. All that, of course, at YeezySupply.com is where you can go to pick that up.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
Because he is awesome.
Also.
He's also awesome.
I'm also awesome.
He's also awesome.
Y'all know.
Y'all know. Smell my fuck.
Who's buying that?
Douchebags.
With
a lot of money.
With a ton of money.
Rich douchebags.
Boy.
Rich Douchebags. Wasn't that your radio name back in the day, Bean? Didn't you used to go by Rich Douchebags?
Yeah, just to
Richie Douchebags, everybody. Makes my ankle hurt down there where my foot gets loose.
Okay, for me, first of all, dopeness is what I like the most.
Thank you.
Dopeness.
Thank you.
People who want to make things as dope
right.
as possible.
Yes. Thank you for the realness, Yeezy. Pick me up one of them 13 grand necklaces.
No.
I bet it's tasteful, though. But it's
sure
understated
it
and tasteful.
Yeah.
Classic really is the word that comes to mind.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthday is Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal. Get Doto on the phone today before the end of the show, because I want to hear his take on Steven Seagal's 65th
Steven
birthday.
Seagal.
Steven Seagal. Orlando Jones is 49 years old today. David Harbour celebrates his 43rd birthday. Charlie Hunnam is 37 years old today. I apologize for getting confused with Travis Fimmel in the last show, Biz.
Yeah, I was
that
really,
guy.
What
do you need him for?
We need them both. They're both wonderful, and I have warm feelings for both of them. Jamie Chung, I have warm feelings for her as well. 34 years old today. Mandy Moore is 33. Haley Joel Osment celebrates his 29th birthday. And Daisy Ridley is 25. Force is strong with her. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LA and OC's alternative rock. Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. More Coachella tickets you can win for weekend number two, happening in 1 hour from right now. And just a few minutes away from right now, Allie McKay, Mr. T.
Seriously.
We've had Mr. T on several times through the years, and he is inspiring.
Yeah.
He is. There's no one like Mr. T, and I'm always happy when he's visiting the Kevin and Bean Show. So that's coming up. First, though, another person we love, our friend LaQuisha, back on the line talking about Mama June from Not to Hot, Friday nights at 9 on WeTV. Hey, LaQuisha.
How you doing?
Doing great. We got Mr. T coming in.
I'm glad to hear you got some brothers coming on this show.
Well,
really,
I mean,
white show you have.
It's pretty
know
white.
That,
very white.
Yeah.
Thank you for being honest.
You're welcome.
Although Bean is sort of like an unofficial brother.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Look, thank you, my sister.
He gives people big up and then says, my brother to people. Power to the people.
I do all
you're
of
like
those things.
Like a Black Panther.
Thank you, LaQuisha. Now, I've got to be honest, I am stunned and confused as to how this show is still on. I thought she already had the surgery and lost the weight, and now she was as hot as she was going to be. What are they talking about over there on the program now?
She lost the weight so that she could go to Sugar Bear's wedding, her ex's wedding, and mm-hmm. make him feel bad about himself. That's the whole point of the show, B.
Oh, and that's what this latest episode was about.
And Friday's episode was about her going finally to Sugar Bear's wedding.
Okay.
And also, you not believing your eyes when you saw her again, because she's so hot now.
Right.
Get ready. When you see me now, you won't believe your eyes.
You won't believe your eyes.
Well, she did say that.
And I saw her, and I wanted to pluck my eyes out of my head.
Uh-oh.
Because she is still hideous, but now she's thin and hideous. So she got that going for her.
All right.
Now, she was uninvited to the wedding, a Sugar Bear wedding, but she didn't know it. Because Jennifer, Sugar Bear's betrothed, hates her so much that she said she can't come to the wedding. But Alana, you know, little honey boo-boo, she said, if my mama can't come with your wedding, then I'm not going to be the bridesmaid.
Mm.
And Sugar Bear, he put his foot down about that.
You know, I love you and all,
and
if Alana can't be here, there won't be a wedding.
Are you really freaking kidding me?
Uh-uh.
You ain't doing this to me. That wedding's tomorrow. Ooh! I'm done with this bitch.
Yeah, Jennifer's not happy, but Sugar Bear's the man of the house.
I am very surprised to see him standing up to her because she seems like a very powerful personality, this
she
Jennifer.
She's a powerful woman physically, too. She's about 400 pounds. Mm-hmm. Giant woman. But Sugar Bear, he just gritted his teeth. Well, he would if he had any. And then he just told her what for. Well, June did show up at the wedding. Mama June shows up, and Sugar Bear, he was taken aback by how much weight she had lost, how thin she looked. But frankly, he wasn't all that impressed.
I'm a little too skinny down for him, so that's good.
Yeah, you know me, I like bigger girls.
You know, the new June, I'm kind of glad she lost all that weight. That way she can kind of be healthy. But on the other hand, you know, I'm not in love with her anymore. I got a new woman.
Yeah, he's not interested now that she's thin.
Right, he's got a type.
Sugar Bear likes him with some cushion for the pushing.
Right.
And June, she made a realization on that day. She thought that she was losing weight to make Sugar Bear miss her, but she realized that it's really not about Sugar Bear at all.
It wasn't about you, and it wasn't about everything that I've been through with you. It was about me. So now, thanks to you, I have lost 3/4 of myself, and I know I will never go back to the way I was.
Not about you, it's about me, but thanks to you, now I'm me.
Wow, it sounds like her heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Yeah, very touching.
She is now a whole different person. Jennifer still hates her, though, and says that she's can come to the wedding, but Jennifer might have to kick her ass during the reception. She's just putting that warning out there so everybody knows it.
I don't know who does she come in here looking like because she don't got on Maryland. She's in the rain in the country, in Georgia, okay, where she thinks she is, California, on the red carpet, honey. She need to go on back there because today ain't the day for her to be doing that.
Today's our day.
Remember, I got tights on up under my dress, and I will fly hot on her head in a minute. This is one mama that will beat her ass today.
That's right.
This is her wedding day, and all she's doing is looking forward to having a throwdown with a guest.
And look, June now is at a huge disadvantage when it comes to the weight. She's out of her class.
That's right.
So Jennifer could beat on her and sit on her. She's wearing tights under her dress, which I cannot believe they make tights in that size, by the way. I mean, literally, any pants on her would be tights, I think. Her dress is tight. Well, the wedding goes off without a hitch, and June takes the high road and wishes them luck and goes home, and everybody seems like they're going to be happy until Mama June gets home and, oh, no, starts grabbing her stomach. Oh, no, what's happening?
Oh, we're going to call an ambulance.
Oh, my God. Mama! Ma!
This is not good at all.
This is not good.
So there's a cliffhanger after the wedding. The show's still not over.
It's another episode. What is going on with June's health? I'm hoping she dies in the next episode.
Well, I don't think that's where we want to go.
Mama June from not to rot.
I don't think that's the goal here, Lucretia.
Come on. In the ground in a shallow grave, and me and the black personal trainer just laughing our asses off. That'd be the perfect ending to this show.
So she went to the wedding, and nobody really cared that she was hot. Sugar Bear wasn't blown away because
he was blown away, but now he doesn't find her attractive anymore.
Right, because he likes big girls. Okay,
but her mama was there, and her mama said that she's an awful person, and it's so sad, all these white people just yelling at each other, but I gotta say, I kinda like it.
Okay, so one more time, we'll do it again next Monday?
Yeah, we will, and hopefully just pray for death.
All right. Well, I don't know about that, but thanks, Lucretia.
I said pray for death.
Okay, we'll pray for death. If you look him up on social media, he describes himself as a footballer, a wrestler, a soldier, a bouncer, a bodyguard, and an actor. He can also be seen Monday nights on ABC as a contestant on the 24th season of Dancing with the Stars. We're talking about the one, the only, the legend, Mr. T, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Mr. T.
Wow, man. I'm humbled and I'm honored by that introduction. How do I live up to that?
You just be you.
Wow.
That's all you
good,
have to do,
good.
Mr.
Thank
T.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
What did you, I have to ask, what did you carry into our studio here this morning? What are you holding there, Mr.
Well,
T?
Well, I'm holding my trophy that the crew from Dance with the Stars gave me Monday night. They called me the 217, well, the 20 of 17 People's Champion, Dance with the Stars. And then they It's so special to me because they put a little fuzz on my on the trophy head and a little thing up under the beard as like me. And this is special. This means more to me than the so-called ball that the other people will, might win.
The mirror
because,
ball.
Yeah, because there's no politics in this. The crew know me. They know my heart. They've been admiring me for years. Then they came on the show. They told me from the heart. They said, Mr. T, we've been here for years. We've seen a lot of celebrities and stars come to the show. We have so much respect for you. And that I'm a tough guy, and it brought warm feelings to me, you know.
That's nice. I heard tears welled up in your eyes, Mr. King.
Yeah, big burly guys with beards and tattoos, and they tell me the love they have and what I mean for over the years and how they happy to tell their kids that they know me and take pictures. That's special to me, man, really. That's the
truth.
Well,
it should be, that's but you truth. Also can't be surprised at this point because that's been your life for the last 40 years is when people meet Mr. T, they are transformed in a major way.
It's humbling, and that makes me work extra hard because I don't take the love and admiration of me lightly. I try to earn it every day, you know, and I use my celebrity platform for the good, and that's the reason why I'm dancing. I'm not dancing to try to outpoint somebody. I can't dance. I told them fools at ABC and Dance with the Stars. They've been asking me about 6 or 7 years. I said, no, get out of here. I said, more people get hurt on Dance with the Stars than MMA. You know?
True.
And then I told them, I said, I can't dance. Then they still want me. I said, what kind of crap is this? You know, you fill out an application, you tell them fools you can't dance, still want me? That's just like a mechanic telling me I want to go into medical school. What kind of stuff is that?
Then you dance. And they give you low scores. They gave you like a 20 out of 40.
Yeah, but you know,
that's absurd.
You know, my mother told me I always take the high road, you know, because really at the end of the day, this is entertainment. And the reason why I'm doing this here dance thing, when I told him, I said I couldn't dance, I said, but I learned, why am I doing it, Mr. T? Mr. T is doing it so he can give whatever money he make from this here dance reality show. I'm giving one half to St. Jude Hospital for Children,
nice.
The other half for Shriners Hospital for Children.
That's fantastic. Oh,
that's why beautiful. I'm doing it.
That's fantastic.
And I want everybody to know, I could have, I got a couple bucks at home. I could have just wrote out a check. But I wanted to be into it, whole body and soul into it, and trying, fall down, getting up, letting people know that I'm trying, you know, and that's what it's all about. Because I've been visiting the hospitals. I love the kids. I try to inspire them. I try to motivate them, you know, and that's who I am.
Why did you say yes this time if they've been trying to get you to do it for 7 years in a row?
Because I didn't have time. I needed time in my schedule.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, I don't want to just come out there and flop on them, you know. I want to give it my all. I don't want to go through the motion and pretend and stuff like that. I want to, you know, really get into it. I get my body in shape, bend down. I'm 64 years old. I still can't touch my toes. So many battle
You're
wounds I've been
64?
In.
You're 64?
64.
That's not possible.
Yes, I know. It's amazing. I've been pitying fools for 40 years. Man.
It's just not possible.
Right, and the ones I wasn't pitying, I was fighting. You know, I'm tired. My back is hurting. My knees is hurting. My elbow is hurting, you know. So, wow. But I won't be complaining. I tell the kids I'm trying. You know, I tell them truthfully, and I tell them on the set, a couple words I won't use. I won't use hard. I won't use defeat and losing and whatnot. Like some people just ask me, Mr. T, you're dancing with the stars hard. How sickening. How disrespectful. And this is coming from my heart. I'm not acting here. It's an insult to say dancing is hard compared to what the kids go through. The kids suffering cancer in wheelchairs. We're going to say dancing is hard. Cut the crap. Dancing is a privilege. It's fun and whatnot, you know? You need time to do it. Nobody. How many people you hear dying from dancing? Even the fiddler on the roof, if he fell, he didn't die from dancing. He died from falling off the roof, you know?
I won the pool. He brought a fiddler on the roof.
You win.
Man.
You win. Well, but, Mr. T, that brings up a good point because you were not pleased with the way that people were making such a big show of when people were leaving.
Yes.
The sobbing and the hugging. Yeah. You said, enough with the jibber-jabber.
Exactly, enough with the jibber-jabber. I said, and I put it to them straight. If everybody, I said, you kissing, doing the farewell stuff, we love you, if you miss whatnot, if you love them so much, take their place. I never seen nobody that passed elimination say, ooh, I let a couple so much, I want to be eliminated for them.
Right.
You know, because, let's call it like I see it, you know, it's a reality show. You know, nobody gets crazy when they leave the Jeopardy. When they leave, when you leave the Price is Right.
Right.
You got the smartest people around on Jeopardy. When they lose, they say, okay, go about their business, collect their money. Right. And then this is your business. All right, you're off the show. You'll see him on another show. You'll see him on Jimmy Kimmel. You might make a movie with him. You see him on Saturday Night Live. It's not like somebody dying and going to war. Cut the crap. You know?
That is perspective right there, ladies and gentlemen. That is perspective.
I call it like it is. I've been in this business too long, you know. It's a reality show where people dance. When people get kicked off Survivor, then I don't know what they'll see them again. Man.
That's a great point, Mr. T.
You'll make money again. It's a dancing show. Let's keep it like it is.
Dancing with the Stars airs tonight and every Monday night at 8 on ABC. And I want to ask you.
He is heated.
Man.
I want to ask you about something you talked about on the show last Monday night, Mr. T, because last Monday night you were doing, you danced to a Dean Martin song, if I remember correctly. You did the Foxtrot, right?
Yes, yes.
And you told a story in your tape package that I want you to elaborate on, which is that you hung out with the Rat Pack, with Sammy Davis Jr., with Frank Sinatra, with Dean Martin, with all those guys back in the 80s. What was that about?
I was honored. I really was honored. I would go to Vegas a lot of times, you know, when we had breaks from the A-team. Then they saw me in the audience, and they said, hey, that's Mr. T out there, brought me back. You know, then I met Sammy and met Dean, met Frank Sinatra, and it was a pleasure. Then Dean Martin, he roasted me on his roast. I was the man of the year.
Oh, pretty
that
sweet.
Was honored. They made fun of me and stuff like that.
Who could make fun of Mr. T?
I mean, it was a funny thing, you know, that I laughed and stuff like that. And it was good. And then gave the money to charity again. I was just honored to meet them. And back again, they realized what I was doing. That I was just more than just a character, just some big black guy, you know. They knew my heart. You know, I was trying to help the kids then, going back to the ghetto, telling the kids to be good and stuff like that, that mm-hmm. they don't have to rob and steal because you're poor. You know, so they recognized me as a person, you know, and so that I was honored to meet him, and we joked, me and Sammy, we joked about the jury and stuff like that, and wow, even then I connected with Frank, actually I connected with Frank first at the Ronald Reagan inaugural ball, because he was in charge of the entertainment.
What
you
a
know,
life you've had.
Frank
wow,
Sinatra.
Life.
You know, when Nancy Reagan invited me to the White House, you know, because she wanted me to help her with her Just Say No program.
Right.
She had heard about me when we used to film the A-Team, and when we go around Los Angeles, I'm telling the kids, stay in school, study hard, listen to their mother and stuff like that. You know, don't do drugs. And Nancy Reagan, people heard about it. They invited me to the White House, you know, when they dressed me up like Santa Claus, when she sat on my lap, and she asked me what I help her with a kickoff with Just Say No. And I did. And then when the president got reelected, they invited me to the inaugural when Frank Sinatra had called. That's
when
I'd be there.
Are you hearing the names that are in this story, Kevin?
Yes, I am.
He's telling us here.
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars airs tonight at 8 on ABC. I hope you'll be on watching the show and then on the phone and calling to vote for Mr. T. Let's keep him on the show as long as we can, raise as much money as we can for his great charities. We'll take a quick break, come back with the legend himself, Mr. T, right after this on K-Rock. Allie, you just noticed Mr. T is in the room, right?
It's freaking me out.
It's freaking Mr. T is what's happening here right now on K-Rock.
It's freaking me out.
I know. Hey, Mr. T, Dancing with the Stars tonight at 8 on ABC. Last time you were in, and by the way, it's been way too long since we had you on the Kevin.
I don't know what happened.
Too long. The years went by.
You're going to straighten that up.
Right.
But last time you were in, I asked you, and I think Kevin piled on, and we all agreed that we insisted you become the next president of the United States. And at the time, you said you didn't want to have anything to do with that. Now that you see where the country's at, have you reconsidered? Do you understand that America needs tea?
I know they need me, but they need me right where I am. See, right now, I'm in nobody's pocket. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm free to say things like I can call like it is on Dance with the Stars. I can call a politician out. But if I'm in somebody's pocket, I can't say certain things. See, my mother told me, which was a wise lady. Like I said, I'm nothing but a big, overgrown, tough, butt-kicking, God-fearing mama's boy. I listened to my mother. And my mother told me, son, where a man stands depends on where he sits. So, you know, a lot of guys want to say things, but they can't. You know, people know certain, whether Democrat, Republican, Independent, they know they should say certain things, but because they connected, they're in somebody's pocket, they can't say certain things.
Right.
So they get on there and lie, and I look at them, I say, man, what God, man. But they caught up, they got to play the game.
Right.
So they can't be free. So I'm free, you know. Somebody don't like me, big deal, just don't put your hands on me. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the way I deal, you know. So I'm free to say what I want. I worked hard, saved my money, so it allows me to call it like I see it. But if I'm in somebody's pocket, I can't speak. So
The nation is poorer for it, though, Mr. T. I understand the reasons that you're giving, but I'm telling you, as a country, we need you. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, I can do better the way I am, where I go around and say certain things and raise the consciousness of things. But like I said again, see, if I'm caught up in politics, no, it's not be good, might not be political, so don't touch that part there. So do this here. That's what politicians do, you know, and it's sad, though, you know. I've seen good people go there, then they come,
Right.
They let us down.
Disappointing. All right, let me ask you a question about fame, about your fame. Do you ever put on a disguise and walk around because you don't want to be known, seen as Mr. T?
No, no, always.
Never.
Always want to be Mr. T. I was, even when I was baby T, I wanted to be Mr. T. I said, boy, when I grew up, I want to be Mr. T. You know, this the greatest thing going. It's not work. I love what I do. I love people meeting people, and they tell me they dressed up like me for Halloween, or they remember me on a certain show. They remember what I stood for. They said, Mr. T, I remember 1984 when you was on Barbara Walters' show. You wore mismatch socks and told me because a lot of poor kids wore mismatch socks, and you wore it. And then they, so they know my story, you know. So, and I listen to them. I like to listen to them. I don't like to cover. As a matter of fact, that's why the crew gave me this little trophy, because I'm a real guy. I don't eat in my trailer. I don't be with the VIPs. I'm a people person. I'm a brother from the other side of the tracks who had an opportunity, and I took advantage of it. I don't forget where I come from. I don't say I'm hoity-toity, I'm a diva and all that stuff. No, I'm with the people. So I never want to let this poem go. If you can walk with kings and queens and yet not lose the common touch, then you'll be a man, my son. I never want to lose that common touch. I never want traveling entourage and all that stuff. I don't want people around me pushing people away. I want
you did show up here today by yourself.
By myself.
Yeah.
God is with me. God, I got my Bible in the SUV, you know, and I'm a happy camper. Listen to a sermon coming in. You know, I don't need all the people around me. No. I want people to be able to approach me. I want to be able to approach them. I go to the store more and been doing that, you know. So I like being personal. I like taking time with my fans, telling them, touching them. Hey, God bless you, man. Hang in there. Don't quit. That's who I am. You know, I don't want to be, hey, they don't tell you, I don't want to do, you know, man, no, it's not me. So I want them to see. I mean, I might not show my mohawk because, you know, that's to the price, you know, and, you know, when the money is on the line, then they see it, you know.
But they have to pay to see the mohawk.
I mean, when I'm working, they see the mohawk, you know. just like when you see me in rehearsal for Dance with Stars, I got my cap on or something like that.
Right.
Then the dance, when it's time, when the camera's ready, then they show the mohawk. But then they go around the store, I cover my head and stuff like that, you know. Not to hide it from people, really. Basically, because I'm a tough guy, but I'm a sensitive guy. I catch head colds quick. The air conditioner be coming down because I don't have that much hair. I catch a head cold, then my sinus be all clogged. I can't talk, you know. So there's a reason for that. There's a method to my madness.
You have said on the show that if you win Dancing with the Stars season 24, you will shave the head. You stand by that?
Oh, yeah. That's a scout honor, and I want people to know. You know, please understand who Mr. T is. I don't do that for publicity. I do that to stand in solidarity with the kids that's fighting cancer. Let me break it plain. I don't know. A lot of people might not know. I'm a cancer survivor myself. 1995, I was diagnosed with cancer. But even before that, back in 1983 and 84, when little kids from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the Starlight Foundation, when they requested me, these kids, this day, Whoosh, of all the people they could have saw, little boy wanted to meet me. Mr. T, that's when my life changed. It was a little kid named Ryan. He had cystic fibrosis. And he said he wanted to, the production assistant came. She said, there's a little boy want to meet you. I thought he liked the other kids. I said, well, bring him to the set. Then she said, but he's dying. Then she said, like, something, you know, I understand some celebrity can't handle it. She said, Mr. T, you want me to tell him you're busy? I said, no, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. I said, first, I got to call home to my pastor. So I called home to my pastor, Reverend Henry Hardy. I said, Pastor Hardy, that's a kid that want to meet me. What do I say to him? I needed some inspiring words. I didn't want to say, ooh, Billy, I'm sorry, this and that. Not that it make me punkish, that I cry. There's nothing wrong with it. But I wanted to be uplifting and what I didn't want to break down myself.
Right.
Then my pastor told me, said, T, evidently, this kid see the God qualities in you that you don't see in yourself. I mean, I believe in God, and I just need the words so I can give to him. Then I met the kid. I loved on him. And then other kids start coming in. Little girls and wheelchairs and other people come. And I would tell them I love them. I love them. God love them. Don't give up. So now we speed up 10 or 15 years later, 1995. I'm diagnosed with cancer. So if I couldn't call on that same God that I told them kids to believe in, if I couldn't call on that same God that I told people about, then that would make me a liar and a phony. So I had to walk the walk. So every chance I get, I tell people, you know, don't give up. I use that as a way to lift people up. Like I was born and raised in the ghetto, but ghetto wasn't born and raised in me. Tell kids just because you're poor and on welfare, you don't have to break in nobody's house. I never robbed nobody. I never raped nobody. I never snatched a purse. We was poor financially, but we was rich spiritually. I come from a loving mother, a God-fearing mother, mother who taught me, say, son, if you want something, work hard and save your money and get it. So then me going to cancer. So I use that as a platform to try to help other people. I said, don't quit. Don't give up. So that's why I'm giving the money for the kids at St. Jude and Shriners Hospital. I'm dancing for them. I can't dance. I told them that. You know what I mean? But it's not about me dancing. So they're asking. That's why I said all the boo-hoo about somebody being kicked off. I said, but if I, it'd be a blessing you get off. I can rest. You know, man. I'd be like, raise my hand. Kick me off. Kick me off. I'm 64 years old. I got bad knees, football injuries. I used to wrestle WWE. Guys jumping on me, fighting. Back alley fighting, guys. I'm going to get you, Mr. D. I've been fighting all my life. I'm tired.
Get to your break.
Man.
Again, every time we have Mr. T, and it's been about four or five times we've had T on over the years, I always am so humble in his presence. You are walking the walk, my friend.
Thank you
and
so
we,
much.
And we love you and we appreciate you. And before we go, and yes, before I remind everybody once again to vote for Mr. T tonight, Dancing with the Stars, 8 o'clock, ABC. I have a friend who celebrates, and I know you've had a lot of people who've come up and have told you over the years the way you've impacted their lives and the things that they do and they celebrate. I have a friend, a very close friend, her name is Dana. She's a doctor, and she and her family don't celebrate Christmas tea. They celebrate Teamus. They have a holiday that they call Teamus. And they make a pity list every year.
And they
read it out loud, and they say, I pity a great many fools this year.
Oh, wow.
And then they make the fools into sticks and cast their list and their stick fools into the fire. And then they exchange gifts and listen to you do and treat your mother right. Nice meal. They respect their mothers.
Wow.
And they have a great Teamus every year.
Wow.
That's a thing that they celebrate and look forward to every year because of you, Mr. T.
I'm so honored by that. Never I tell people, you got, that's all I am. I'm just a big, overgrown mama's boy. I love my mother. If I tell people, if more guys would love their mothers, there'd be less guys in prison. Wow, to treat your mother right, I'm so honored. See, when I hear stuff like that, that makes me work extra harder, really. I don't take that lightly. That's why I watch what I do. I watch what I say. I don't want to disappoint nobody. I don't want to let nobody down. You know, so that's what my celebrity, my status mean to me. Not mean that I'm so great I got what I wanted. No. I just want to be an inspiration to somebody. I want to give somebody hope.
Well, you know? You're an inspiration to everybody, Mr. T, and I want you to know that we personally, to a man and a woman in this room, we love you, and I know that our listeners enjoying you, hearing you on the radio right now, they love you too. So never stop being Mr. T, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for the love, guys. Thank you. I really mean that. I appreciate that. And I'll
Dancing with the
best.
Stars tonight at 8 on ABC, ladies and gentlemen. Let's make this man win this thing and raise a lot of money for the little boys and girls. Come on, everybody.
Wow,
Mr. T.
All right. Wow, boy. Boy, wow, wow.
The problem is when T leaves, when Mr. T walks out the door, you're just left with your tiny little lives that mean nothing. And that's
not
bad.
His
that's,
message at all, that's Dave, by the way. That's not what he tries
that
to
was
inspire
my takeaway.
At all. It's the exact opposite.
My takeaway is that he's everything and we're nothing.
No, his lesson is that we are all something and we all have God inside of us and he's there to lift us all up.
That wasn't my takeaway at all. Jessica writes in, previously I've never really cared about Mr. T, but I am currently in love. That's Jessica from Encino. And I think we're all there. I think we're all a little bit Jessica right now, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Put that on a shirt.
Hey,
Jesus God. We're all a little bit Jessica right now, so big ups to her.
Big ups my to Jessica. Brother. Guys, not only do we have more Coachella tickets for sold-out three-day passes for Weekend 2 coming up right after Ralph Showbiz Beat, but then our friend, the lovely actress Bianca Kylik, is going to be joining us in studio with a very special project. We don't do a lot of Kickstarter action on this show, but this is one you are going to want to hear about and you are going to want to contribute to, and we'll tell you why when Bianca joins us right after the top of the hour. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Her ugly husband's here, too, by the way.
Right. That dick.
Worse.
I told him. I said, we booked her, not you.
Right? Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, she could do better.
Freaking Catherine. What's he even do now? Isn't he like a hobo?
I heard he's a hobo.
He's a hobo down in Venice, isn't he?
Oh.
Doesn't he walk around with a snake around his neck taking pictures with tourists or something?
You should watch out for Springsteen.
Forget what he does.
I think Mike
that,
still
has... that love line thing, that's over.
Yeah.
But I think he still has the KABC radio show. I think he's still doing that.
I think he's got ABC. He's got a show on Comedy Central coming out.
Is that even a radio
station?
KABC?
Yes, it's a radio station.
It's a real station,
Was it shortwave?
Shortwave?
Yeah.
No, it's on AM. AM 790.
AM radio still exists.
Yeah.
Don't pull my leg. Tell me it's raining.
All right.
What?
Well, maybe that's why Bianca's here raising some money to pay the mortgage.
Exactly. Kickstarter for Catherwood.
Wow. This took a turn.
You know I love Mike. I miss him.
I used to have friends on this show.
Aww.
Now it's all over. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office. The Boss Baby. Second week in a row. That's number one. What's happening through the world? People love babies in suits. I've always said that. $26.3 million kept at number one. Beauty and the Beast. $25 million just behind Boss Baby was at number two. Smurfs, The Lost Village, going in style. Ghost in the Shell. We are top five films. Power Rangers. Six, Kong, Skull Island. Seven, Logan, Get Out, and The Case for Christ was number 10. Case for Christ? Is he being brought up on charges?
Yes.
Oh. Does Jesus even have a lawyer? Doesn't sound like he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would hang around with a lot of lawyers.
Oh, hang around. I see what you did.
Oh, no,
Allie. You're
awful,
You're awful.
Give Caesar what is Caesar, right?
Ralph, that that Beauty and the Beast movie has made over $432 million already.
Wow.
People love women having sex with animals. I've always
said that.
It's not really
the case.
Bestiality. He turns into
a
prince.
He's a chimpanzee.
He's not a chimp.
Mr. Hand.
I don't think those are the words.
No. Sci-Fi Network has announced Friday that Sharknado 5 has an air date. August 6th. Circle your calendars. August 6th, Sharknado 5. Ian Ziering and Tara Reid return again. Sci-Fi also has a new series called Blood Drive, which will premiere in July. This is a great, great concept. If I say Blood Drive, what do you think it might be, the series?
Vampire-related.
Close, Bean. This is a cross-country car race with cars that run on human blood.
Oh.
See?
Whoa.
So,
what?
So if you're out there and you're racing and you're running out of, if you're part of the Zero
Club,
you got to find some people to fill your tank up,
Come
right?
on.
How great is that?
No.
Are you
blood
serious? Drive.
No.
Blood drive.
So you pull
you
into a
shopping. You can't drive without the blood.
You pull into a shopping center and you say, look, I need some volunteers here, otherwise I can't get back on the road?
Yes, Bean. Yeah, that's the drama of the series. They ask for volunteers to donate a pint of blood.
Can someone raise their hands, please?
Big ups to you people who are donating blood to my car.
I don't know how
it works.
I'm
pretty sure the blood is taken without their permission, Bean.
Oh, I see. I thought it was a reality show, and it was real.
Oh, my God.
Crap.
Oh, my God. No.
I didn't know it was, it was fake time.
It's fake time? You thought this was a real show?
Yes.
You know those cars that run on blood,
sure,
Allie.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, Tesla.
I was going to get a Prius.
Tesla came up with those, I think.
I may have misread that.
Do you pay attention at all?
I do. No, I do. But I thought it was a thing with a thing.
I just think you're terrific.
So they have to stop and they have to get people to donate blood. The show is about how convincing they are to talk people into donate so they can drive again.
He thought it was real.
They did think it was real.
I can't anymore.
It's just...
It's too much, Ralph.
I can't...
I was so uplifted for Mr.
Right?
T.
Right? He comes in and then we
oh,
get...
the
we
joy.
Go from Mr. T to Mr. D.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly, Allie. That's the D I'm talking about.
We know what you mean.
I don't think you do.
Sounds like it's Bag in the Desert time again.
Last week, I mentioned that they're going to make a TV series about the life of Bob Guccione, founder of Penthouse Magazine. Well, I'll see your Guccione and raise you a Hefner. Just announced a movie in the works about the life of Playboy Magazine founder Hugh Hefner. Producer Brett Ratner has optioned the rights to Hefner's life, and he will produce the film, which will trace Hefner from his conservative Methodist childhood, being raised by very overbearing, prudish parents, to, of course, the Playboy empire that he started and turned into a global brand, including eventually publishing in nightclubs, casinos, television networks, the whole thing. Pretty much started the sexual revolution. This guy's got a lot going on. That's a story that could be told in an interesting way, I think, so...
Did he use blood to drive a car?
And he did. And he also invented a car that drives on blood. But he had to ask people politely to donate at malls.
Weird.
Tell me that's
so
not
willing.
A great idea for a show.
It's the worst idea ever. You're the worst screenwriter ever. Okay, here's my pitch. It's a car that runs on blood. But you have to politely ask people to donate a little bit at a mall in order to finish the race.
Look, it's no
Big
different
than... Big ups to me and my script.
It's no different than the dippy stunts that they make you do on the Celebrity Apprentice, where you have to go and get people to help you do stuff and contribute
Excuse
money.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have old negative?
You'll see, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Daisy Ridley is 25 years old today. Is anyone else sort of jonesing for the next Star Wars movie?
I'm ready.
I am very ready.
I'm very ready.
Yeah.
See it.
Now. We got to wait till Christmas again, right?
Yeah.
We're close to it.
Haley Joel Osment's 29 years old today. Mandy Moore's 33. Jamie Chung, 34. Charlie Hunnam is 37 years old today. David Harbour turns 43. Orlando Jones is 49. And Steven Seagal is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock, giving away those Coachella tickets for Weekend 2 all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m., and that includes just now. Allie, your thoughts on the name Jonessa as a winner. Jonessa Morales just called from Van Nuys.
I'll allow it.
You'll allow Jonessa.
Yeah, for sure.
Congratulations.
Call her Johnny.
I guess you could.
Nessa.
A lot of options.
Listen, we could go on for days, but let's
sold
not.
Out 3-day passes to Weekend 2 of Coachella. Your chance to win coming up at noon and then at 3 and then at 6 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a thrill to welcome our next guest to the studio. She's a delightful actress and a wonderful person. Our friend Bianca Kiely joins us on Kevin and Bean. Hey, Bianca.
Hey.
You still married to that dude?
I am. He's actually here with me.
How's that? How long have you guys been married now, you and Mr. Catherwood?
I guess we're going on 4.5 years.
Holy
about.
And they said it wouldn't last. Crazy. Well,
only our parents, that's all.
Well, Bianca, I'm so happy that you're here today. And I mentioned this a little while ago when I promoted that you were going to be coming in, is we don't do a lot of Kickstarters. Look, there's a million ways to spend your money on the internet, and and everybody's got a Kickstarter. And very few of them catch our attention, and we go, wow, that's really worthwhile and really fascinating, and we need to do it. But you're involved as a director in a project around your brother.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, I didn't know, I mean, you know, this is great work because I had no idea about Andre. And the first thought I saw when I saw the trailer for your Kickstarter is you are not the best looking person in your family. Andre is hot. He's a babe.
I remember a while back a girlfriend from high school had called me and she was like, oh my God, I was at an intersection and I was just drooling over this guy next to me in the car. And then I realized it was your brother and we had grown up together. But yes, he's quite a looker.
He's a younger or older than you, Bianca?
Younger. He's two years younger. Yeah.
Okay. So the reason you're making this Joyrider is the name of the project, Joyrider,
yes.
Is what happened to your brother a few years back?
So in 2003, he was attending college in Prague, where my father went to school. And we don't know exactly what happened, but he ended up on the subway tracks in the early hours of the morning and was run over by the subway and had to have both legs amputated. His right leg is amputated mid-thigh and his left leg is completely gone. There's no femur or anything.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, it was obviously one of those things that you feel like you're in an episode of The Twilight Zone. Like, that doesn't happen to
people you know.
Yeah. I mean, just crazy. And he went on to have doctors tell him that he probably wouldn't walk. They didn't even know if he was going to be able to sit. And he essentially walks with a cane now and is a world champion endurance athlete, has won Ironmans, Ultramans. And he just keeps going and finding bigger and longer and harder challenges that he can take on.
Was he this driven before the accident, or is it something that kind of propelled him?
It propelled him. I mean, he was always kind of a natural athlete, but he was like, you know, windsurfer, or he would, you know, he'd like to go skiing. Like, he was always active, but there wasn't like this charge behind it.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people would give up for a lot less to have happened to him. What do you know about your brother that tells you how he was able to find the strength to not only overcome but to excel and make the rest of his life so exceptional?
Well, I think it kind of boils down to one moment, and this is kind of the precipitous of us wanting to do this documentary, because I feel like it's something important for people to hear and to understand and to see, which is that he had this moment. He was hunting with some friends, and he was on these shorter – when you learn to walk on prosthetics, you start out with things called stubbies, which are these kind of – he looked like a little guy. He was about 3 feet tall at this point or something. And he was laying in bed in their motel at night, and it had just been such a rough day, and he was crying. And he kind of had this moment where he's like, wow, I realize like I have two choices. I have two paths in front of me, and I can either go down this path of self-pity, which feels good right now and kind of makes me feel like I'm, you know, doing something. But it's not actually in the long run going to benefit me. Or I can turn my back on that and I can decide that this is the time for me to choose what kind of life I'm going to live. And he just took that path and never looked back.
Wow.
I was completely – I apologize for my ignorance. I had no idea that there was such thing as hand biking, but of course there
yes.
would be. This is a way you propel yourself on a wheeled bicycle, but
yes.
you do it with your hands.
Yeah.
And your brother looks like, based on all the races that he's won, and you mentioned the Ironman and other things, he looks like one of the best in the world of all time at this.
It's crazy. So it's – The race that he's doing for the documentary that we're telling the story about is called The Race Across America, and that's just on a hand cycle. But he started out doing triathlons and then ultra triathlons, which are like the Ironman, which are just these crazy events. And so when there's the swim portion of it, he swims. He obviously doesn't have legs, so he just uses his arms. But he's beating people who have complete use of their arms and legs
wow.
with just half of his body. And then when people are cycling, he does the hand cycle. So people are using the largest muscle group of their legs, and he's using his arms. And then once it goes into the race portion of it and people are running, he has a racing wheelchair. So it's basically just kind of a souped-up wheelchair. But he did this ultra marathon in Canada and felt that he had an unfair advantage in his racing wheelchair. So he actually just used his everyday wheelchair, like the
come on.
And finished, you know, of course.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. The Race Across America, it's literally 3,000 miles,
yes.
and you do it in 12 days.
Yeah, and Andre wants to do it in under 12 days. So it's
of course he does.
It's longer than the Tour de France in half the time is essentially a good way for people to understand.
And a good portion of it is vertical.
Is vertical, yeah. I can't remember the exact climbing altitude, but it's insane. I mean,
wow.
I'm not doing that walking, okay?
Yeah, I'm not doing that driving, Bianca. All right, so the Kickstarter is called Joyrider, and that's the movie that you want to make about the preparation up to and then the race itself, correct?
Correct, and we want to tell his story.
Okay, and what's the plan here? I mean, obviously the program is up, the Joyrider on Kickstarter is up. It's been a few days now. How's it looking?
You know, it's difficult because you got to get people involved in someone that they haven't heard about before. It's not mm-hmm. I'm producing this with fellow actors Greg Grunberg and Claire Kramer. Claire and I did Bring It On together, and it's not like we're going out there and saying like, hey, we're doing this movie that we're acting in.
Right.
It's a movie about someone that people don't know and that we want them to know. And you know, and I think part of the hard part too, and I want to address this, is that, you know, people are always like, well, why don't you just pay for it yourself? And we've put a lot of money into it. Mm-hmm. But making a movie is a very expensive thing. And also we would like to be able to have some of this money go towards Andre. You know, he works full time and trains. He's not a sponsored athlete. We'd love to get him a sponsor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have full faith and confidence that we're going to make this thing happen. We just got to get people involved. And so,
yep.
you know, every little bit helps.
That's why we wanted to have you on. And that's why we wanted to spread the word. The easiest way to find it is just go to Kickstarter and just type in Joyrider. I don't come
exactly.
up, right?
Yes. One more.
All right. You got a $150,000 goal. How many more days are left in the campaign?
I think we have 25 more days.
Okay.
So we've got quite a bit of a ways to go. Yeah.
Yeah. But raising awareness, like you said, that's
yes.
just the first stop. And I'm telling you, when you can't watch this video and see how remarkable Andre is and not want to help him. I mean, he really is such an exceptional person, and it's just it's unbelievable to think that a human can do the things that he's doing. And this new thing, this new challenge that he's taken on, this Race Across America, I mean, how many people in the world could do it?
There's only 200 people that I think have ever finished it, and no one has ever done it solo on a hand cycle. There are teams sometimes that do it, but this is a race that loses half of its participants between the start and the finish line. So it is impossible.
Gosh.
People, just to give you kind of an idea, he'll be sleeping 90 minutes a night. That's it. That's all he has allotted. And people, their bodies give out. People actually have to tape their heads up because the neck finally gives way and they can't hold their heads up anymore.
Oh,
it's intense. It's brutal.
To mention the dehydration and the exhaustion. All
yeah.
that.
And also, I just want to say that, like, whenever I watch a documentary, I always, well, what's in it for me and what am I going to take away from this? And I think that this story, and this is why I want to tell it, is so important for anyone who's ever felt like they can't get out out of their own way. I think we can all relate to that struggle, and mm-hmm. you feel like everything's outside of you. And the truth is that every obstacle we face is just what we decide it is in our heads and our hearts. And my brother is such an incredible inspiration because he teaches me every day what it means to get out of your own way.
Yeah.
I'll never complain about another thing again after watching this. Unless a guy shakes my hand real hard and it fractures it.
Which,
you know, I'm still recovering from that, Allie.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of pain going around. It has been a tough week. All right, go to Kickstarter, look for Joy Rider, and please contribute. Bianca, we want to stay in touch with you and find out, you know, what the progress is and see if we can get this thing going. I mean, we're all in.
Thank you guys so much.
Congratulations.
Really
appreciate
it. It
looks wonderful. And how jealous is your husband about how jacked your brother is from all this? His upper body shots,
well,
right?
You know, Mike.
All right, Bianca, we'll see you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
I don't know if you heard it, Ralph. It got real dark with Bruce Springsteen a few minutes ago.
Yeah. He's not the guy everyone thinks he is.
He really isn't. I just don't know how he's able to just get away with it.
He's
just so open about it.
Very clever.
It's like he's bragging or something. It's weird. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. We have time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Here's our friend, Ralph Graham.
Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers.
A popular TV show on the Fox Network.
It is a very popular, hilarious show on Fox. And Bean, you missed this, folks, while we're off the air. Bean said, I wonder why I don't watch Bob's Burgers. To which we responded, you hate animated television.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
That's true. I do hate animation. So there's an answer to your question.
But there's no reason for it because I hear a lot of great things about Bob's Burgers.
Well,
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
It's part of the animation domination over there on Fox. You got Family Guy, which, by the way, I'm on almost every week.
Right.
You don't watch that either.
I should probably watch that, yeah.
American Dad.
I love
Bob's Burgers.
Dad.
You don't love American Dad. You've never seen it.
I don't watch it, but I love it.
I want to hurt you in such a specific way involving needle nose pliers.
Oh, no.
Okay. We're getting off topic here. So Bob's Burgers, you bring it up. Why, Ralph?
Because they're doing a very cool event at the Orpheum Theater on June 17th and 18th. It's going to be Bob's Burgers Live.
Yay! Oh, wow.
The cast will be there performing a script from Bob's Burgers Live right there for your enjoyment. Tickets are available at bobsburgerslive.com or you can win them right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. It's June 17th or 18th. So let's say caller number 17 right now. Caller number 17 will win a pair of tickets to Bob's Burgers Live at the Orpheum Theater. June 17th and 18th. Pretty cool. They did the cast did a reading of the premiere episode of the new season at the Paley Fest.
Oh, yeah?
Just a couple weeks ago, so it's very funny. I love it, but I don't watch it.
Look, I'm just saying.
What? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Boss Baby, once again, number one with $26.3 million. Beauty and the Beast is second. Smurfs, The Lost Village, came in at three with $14 million. Going in Style and Ghost in the Shell were the top five films. Power Rangers, Kong, Skull Island, Logan, Get Out, and The Case for Christ at number 10. Your Honor, I am representing the Son of God. I'd like to approach the bench if I could.
It's Jesus, man. Just let him go.
What I would do if I was Jesus's lawyer.
I don't think that's what the movie's about.
Case for Christ.
Yep.
What else could it be?
Jesus.
Involves Jesus on trial.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Right? Probably sued by some big winery for turning all that water into wine.
Oh,
that's got to be a violation of
my
copyrights
God.
Or something, right?
Right?
Jesus?
So you get Zippo, nada.
Fishes and Loaves?
Loaves and Fishes.
Coalition? Bringing charges against them?
I don't think there's a coalition.
For price fixing?
No.
Can't give away loaves and fishes. Cutting into our profits, JC.
Almost Easter, Ralph.
Oh, God. F you guys.
Thank you. Remember back in 2011, Disney announced they're going to make a movie based on the Jungle Cruise? This was when Disney was all hot and bothered to make movies about every ride they had there at Disneyland because Pirates of the Caribbean was such a smash hit. So they decided that it would be a good idea to make The Haunted Mansion. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that disaster?
Mm-hmm.
Did not go well.
Eddie Murphy or something, right?
So the Jungle Cruise was going to be a ride, and they approached Tom Hanks and Tim Allen to star in it. Talks collapsed between those two stars, but now it's back. Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be starring in the Jungle Cruise for Disney. And Dwayne's busy schedule finally allows him to start filming the movie early next year. So get to see him shoot at some hippos.
And then they went the other way with the success of Guardians of the Galaxy and turned that into a theme park ride.
Well, that's been going on for some time now.
Right.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Thanks, Beans.
This was a success.
Britney Spears is leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, no.
She's leaving Las Vegas.
Okay. Why?
Her run at Planet Hollywood's Axis is almost up. The contract's up on December 31st. That's when her contract ends.
Why?
Now, what will Britney do? I'm guessing...
Extended, right? Yeah. I think it's been very good for her.
I do, too. Because,
why?
Because, Rodney, she is not going to go on the road and sell out arenas like she used to.
Why?
Because she hasn't had a hit in a while. So this is a show that she can do on a regular basis, and she can live in one place with her kids, and it's probably a very, very good lifestyle for her.
Yeah.
Why?
Because the show has generated more than $100 million in ticket sales since it debuted on December 27th in 2013.
Wow.
Right? There's rumors that Britney may take the show. It's been so successful to another Vegas property. So there may be a bidding war to keep her there.
Would you guys go see Britney if you were in Las Vegas and had the time?
Nope.
I don't think so. But what about Adele? Do you think Adele might do a Vegas?
Drama queen.
No, she is not, Rodney.
I don't think she would.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think she wants to live in Las Vegas.
Well, if she just did it every weekend and then she flew
back to London all the time?
Well, no, she has a house in L.A.
Mm.
I'm trying to find out where.
Okay.
What?
Maybe Adele should buy a gun. Right? Who's
with me? I love her so much.
And Chuck Berry fans from all over the world made the pilgrims to St. Louis yesterday to pay their respects to the late father of rock and roll. New York Times says Chuck's body was laid out in an open coffin. As people approached the coffin, he was heard to say,
"No, no, no, don't do it.
Terrible human being.
Smell my fart." There was a guitar bolted to the inside of the lid of the coffin. So he was in the coffin. It was an open coffin funeral. And then when they closed the lid, that guitar will be on top of him.
Okay.
Bill Clinton was there. Paul McCartney, Little Richard. Gene Simmons of Kiss was there and made a speech. At the end of the ceremony, Chuck was carried out as a brass band played Candle in the Wind. Nope, the St. Louis Blues. I'm sorry. I was wrong.
Can you believe that?
Smell my fart!
Look,
once again,
man died.
Chuck Berry humiliates a hooker is where you want to go
on
YouTube.
He made an unbelievable. He's the most significant figure in the history of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Can we focus on that and not on?
Well, maybe he should have focused on that and not tried to videotape women going to the bathroom at his restaurant.
He was a bad dude,
right? So. As long as we all admit that, then I think we can focus on
but
that.
But I don't think we need to wallow in the particulars of the ways that he was a bad dude.
Instead,
we should appreciate freaking Johnny B. Goode. That's what we should be doing right now.
Plenty of people have appreciated that over the years. I don't think nearly enough attention has been paid to what a complete creep he was.
I think you're being a wee bit sensitive, Bean.
Creep protecting the creep?
Wee.
You know, I just love Chuck Berry. That's
I know
all.
You
yeah,
do.
You do.
It's hard for me to sit here and listen to this.
Today's celebrity birthday.
All this disparagement going on.
It's not disparaging at all. It's the truth.
Yeah, it happened, Bean.
Steven Seagal is 65 years old today. Orlando Jones is 49. David Harbour from Stranger Things. Also The Newsroom. He was great on that show as well. 43 years old today. Charlie Hunnam, soon to be seen as King Arthur. He is 37 years old. Jamie Chung's 34. Mandy Moore's 33. Haley Joel Osment. It's a good man, that Haley Joel Osment. 29 years old today. And Daisy Ridley celebrates her 25th birthday. What's going on with your belt today?
Does it not sound right?
Yeah,
it's kind of going in and out.
It sounds odd.
Yeah.
Something's going on. Smell my belt! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
I've never been happier to see a Showbiz report over than this one. Hey, the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness like they do. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m., so thank you to them for that. Please enjoy. Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, our old friend Eddie Ift returns us. Very funny man. We have Lamorne Morris on the program. He's Winston from New Girl, Don't You Know. He's involved in a movie we'll talk about. What?
I'm nothing.
More Coachella tickets?
Maybe ask some questions about his cat. I know you're very curious about where his cat is and where it's performing these
days. As a matter of fact, thank you, Ralph. I will do that tomorrow. More Coachella tickets and more Clippers playoff basketball tickets to all of that on an all-new Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show and the return of the monkey, too. That's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock.